Welcome to the Wild West for another week. You're here with Steve and Glenn.
True Believers.
True Believers. We're here every week, Glenn.
Mick's still ill, bit sad. He was almost going to make this week. We're looking forward to his comeback.
I was looking forward to it.
We'll have to wait.
Glenn, you and I are still dedicated.
He's like Nadal.
He's Nadal. He complained about the court and...
No, he didn't complain about the court. It was easier.
He complained about himself.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, he's injured a little bit, so... He's alright. But he's going to be better. He'll be back. Pete's still lazy.
Still lazy. That hasn't changed. New year, same
lazy video. Bones Pete. Still the same. We'll see him soon, we hope.
I don't think we're going to see him soon.
He better.
Until, you know.
Until another day.
Until another day.
But we have a special guest this week. We have we've expanded it with our new segment.
We do. Carol joins us.
Needs a name. Needs a new word.
Ooh.
Which is also the topic of this week's segment.
Yeah.
Of the unnamed titled segment.
Yeah.
Find out later.
Our own full segment. Also an appearance in TV news as well.
Yes, yes. When we talk about dishwashing liquid.
Yeah. And Adam Hill's role.
Yes, and Steve has a new revelation about Adam Hills, exclusive to Steve.
Yeah.
He missed out on something. What did he miss out on with Adam Hills? What could it be that... What is the one thing that Adam Hills no one knows about, Steve? Find out later.
You're going to have to tune in for that one. It was quite a surprise.
Quite a surprise. Who would have thunk it?
I did not know.
And also, we'll be talking a little bit about tennis.
Yeah.
Maybe for 5 hours.
Movies as well.
Movies.
Oscars are coming up.
Big TV news this week.
Big TV news. Yeah. And Burning Man is back.
It's back.
He's angry this week.
Angry. Because my train only came every 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, well, we also talk about trains and unions and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All that crap. And Australia Day.
And you can vote in. Do you like our program?
Yeah.
We've sent a text poll to 10,000 people across the country. Yeah. And you know what's interesting, Steve? We just got the news back from the text poll. We've emailed 10,000 people and texted them, both members, 10,000 people. Do you think Saturday Night Live is awesome? If you don't think so, response back is no.
Wild West.
Wild West, yes, whatever we call our show now.
Whoops.
Whoops. And if it's a yes, don't respond.
No one that I didn't vote.
And no one, we got no responses back, so 10,000 people love our show, and it's overwhelmingly supportive of us. So.
And that's what we're going to go with, and no one can tell us otherwise.
And no one can tell us otherwise, and there's not a flawed system. It is perfect. I've done my damnedest hardest to figure out how awesome we are.
But if you do know a better way, let Glenn know.
Let me know. How else could we phrase that question?
Do his work for him.
Because we're awesome, Steve. But that is scientifically proven.
Hey, the votes don't lie.
The votes don't lie.
That and much, much more on the program. Welcome back to the program. It is time for sport, Glenn.
Anything happened in sport this week, Steve? Anything at all?
Tennis is still going on?
No.
Yeah.
Tennis?
It's done on Monday, though.
We never talk about tennis in this show. We try to avoid tennis as a topic.
We try our best, but...
You know, but it is January. And tennis players are in Australia.
And it's on for 2 weeks.
And it's been really interesting this year.
It's actually been really, really good. Kurios did pretty good until he lost.
He did. Then we also had Tennis Sagnam.
Yeah.
He made it interesting.
His name is Tennis.
He is, quite literally. I actually thought Tennis would win.
But he didn't.
But he didn't. And after he lost, his press conference got a bit weird.
Oh.
Very weird.
Hashtag Pizzagate exchange at some point. I just wondered if you were concerned about having yourself connected to some of these controversial figures.
I mean... No, I'm not concerned about it. It's fine. I don't look who you follow on Twitter. I feel like doesn't matter even a little bit. You know, what information you see doesn't dictate what you think or believe. And I think it's crazy to think that. I think it's crazy to assume that. To say, well, he's following X person, so he believes all the things that this person believes. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's not how information works. If you watch a news channel, you wouldn't then say that that person who's watching the news channel thinks everything that that news channel puts out. You wouldn't think that. So
you mean that if you listen to this show, you're not awesome?
No, but they believe everything we say, and they...
But they're awesome then, right? Because all the stuff we say is awesome.
Oh,
so
of course.
If you listen to this show, you become awesome.
Yeah. That's how it works.
That theory, right? That's how it works. But obviously, maybe you're all not awesome. Sorry.
No.
Sorry to break it to you all.
That's a stupid thing, though, saying that who you follow can sway your opinion.
Yeah, the question that we didn't play the whole question to the reporter because, quite frankly, he dabbled on for about an hour trying to make some very long bow of his retweets. And this is the thing. But he did delete the retweets. So one does suggest that maybe he wasn't so concerned about them and coy about them in the press conference. He would have kept them up there.
It got to him.
Obviously, he's taken them down. But the other bit is, I heard there was Pizzagate.
Yeah.
Is this where they took pepperoni off pizzas or something? Or
no, that's a whole other controversy.
Is that actually a controversy? Did that actually happen?
What?
I don't know, I made that up.
Pepperoni off pizza. No. You got to have your pizza with pepperoni. What is this?
Just checking. Just checking that wasn't the gate, because if that was the case, eat off. Get rid of him. Ban him completely.
Yeah, the Pizzagate thing, I don't know how that came about, because he retweeted something.
What is Pizzagate?
Well, Pizzagate is Glenn.
Just because I'm not really up on my
own. Oh, here we go. Neither was I. I had to quickly look it up while we were talking. But,
you're not a Pizzagate expert?
No, I'm not. Okay, Pizzagate is a debunked conspiracy related to the
this
Hillary...
This is on Wikipedia, so
yes, this is on Wikipedia. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it's a conspiracy theory that went viral during the 2016 United States election between, obviously, Trump and Hillary and Bernie.
Lots of truth in that campaign, absolutely, from both sides.
Yeah, it's about the personal email accounts of John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager. So that makes sense. He was hacked, and then his emails were attacked, and they were made public by WikiLeaks, and apparently one of them had to do with the connection between a Hillary, I guess a Clinton sort of, they partly own a pizza shop in America, and it was connected to pedophilia. But it was debunked.
Not truly.
It was fake. It was debunked.
Called the Ping Pong Pizza Parlor or something.
Yeah, it's called Comet Ping Pong, which is funny in its own right. But
and Obama was there with a child playing ping pong.
Yeah. And a bunch of other Democratic Party members and things. But it was debunked as fake. Because there was accusations of human trafficking and sex offending and things like that. Honestly, Glenn, I didn't hear about this until today.
No, it's actually surprising. Like, I'm surprised the media hasn't covered Pizzagate as thoroughly as it could.
It even specifically
said... Even if it's totally false and...
I think it's false. It's clearly false because it was debunked.
But 90% of America believes it is true.
That's how much is that, though? That's not that many people.
That's 9% of 300 million. About 10%, I'd say. That's about 30 million people. That's the whole size of Australia. That's a lot of people.
Well, that's the whole of Australia believes that.
Yes. There's a whole Australia out there in America, admittedly, that believes a child sex ring involving Hillary Clinton.
Wow. That's a bit crazy, then. No, but the people believe Hillary Clinton for other things than that.
Like, you could believe it if it was Bill Clinton's private sex club where, you know, has his secretaries there, that could possibly be true.
Yeah, that you would believe.
That would be believable.
You'd probably get more than 3%.
You might get a few more people that might be persuaded on that, but but I do think the media has been a bit dismissive and a bit glossed over about some of these tweets and stuff and his views and kind of, I think, making Mattis a villain. I don't know if
of course they are.
Necessarily is a villain. Like, he's entitled to his views.
He can retweet
them,
and follow whomever he likes.
But they're views that are somewhat popular in many parts of the world these days. 10% of the population believe them in most of the West.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not like fringe views in that sense. Some are, but not all of them are.
No, definitely not.
Doesn't make them right, but
it's their views.
Yeah, okay. So it's a controversy because usually most tennis players keep out of politics. There was that Billie Jean lady the other week and Margaret Court and
probably Serena said something as well.
I hate that out of back, but apparently there was some tennis politics too.
Yeah,
no Nadal. So sad.
I don't want to say frustration, but it's really tough to accept. I don't want to complain because it happened to me more than others.
He doesn't want to complain, however,
yeah.
He wants to complain.
Because on the other hand, I was winning more than almost everyone. So that's the real thing. So, but who knows if I didn't have all these injuries.
And then you went on to say that obviously there's an issue about play, and it's a big issue is that the hardcore tennis tournaments, there's too many games, there's causing more injuries, and a lot of injuries in the tournament these days.
It's not good for their health when they're older and whatnot. And so.
But also, too, the interesting thing that came out of that is that there's twice as many people over 30 playing tennis in this professional level winning games.
Yeah.
And
making it to the finals and things.
So this is probably maybe more biology than it is the schedule?
I don't think you can... When I first heard it, I'm like, you can't blame the schedule. If you don't want to play a game, then don't play it.
Yeah, but like,
I think it's got to do with age as well.
But that's what I'm thinking. Because like, if I started playing tennis tomorrow, or if you, for example, started playing tennis tomorrow, could get more injured.
I don't think I'd get injured as...
You reckon you won't?
No, I've
got some crutches you can borrow.
I've tried them. They're very hard.
They're very hard. No, you failed miserably on those.
I tried.
I'm very good at them now, though.
You are very good.
100-meter crutches marathon, I would definitely get there.
You should be proud about that.
But I must say, when you get to 30, you can get injured more easily. Particularly at elite level. It's not as easy as when you're 20, right?
Oh, definitely not, because you probably don't have as much energy, and you're also...
Old. As Federer keeps reminding everybody, he's old.
Federer is quite old in tennis years. He's, what, 36 compared to Nadal, who's 31.
And he's about to win the whole tournament.
Twice in a row, 20th total.
He's a machine.
He's not doing that bad for a 36-year-old.
Like, you know, I'm just sitting around doing a radio show. That's pretty hard. You have a point there. He's not doing too bad. And the thing that's interesting about that's the difference between Naomi Nadal and Djokovic and even a Murray is that he's been playing a lot less tennis. He just plays important matches. He makes the schedule to his own liking. Yeah. He doesn't play every game.
And he doesn't have to.
And he doesn't need to, obviously, because he's, you know, loaded. And doesn't need to. But I guess, is that maybe part of the reason?
Well, it is, because when they first start playing, they're playing every tournament, every game they can. Mm. And then now, as you said, he can pick and choose what he wants to play because he's older now. Yeah. So it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. But it's an interesting time, because I do think this is the first tournament we're seeing where actually anyone but the big players, there's some grassroots coming of players that might have different names than the usual big four that we've had the last decade and a half.
That's actually very true.
And it's really confusing because we don't know any of their names.
No, like, I never even heard of Grigor Dimitrov before.
Apparently he's played before.
And he's number three. I didn't even know.
Then there was this most amazing player from South Korea, the first South Korean that got in. He defeated Djokovic, and he can't believe it himself.
Hit those shots from the corner, the flexibility. It's like watching Novak do it, but it's you. I'm just trying to copy Novak because he's my idol, so I don't know. You've done an amazing job. I'm just 2-0 up a set, and if I lose, I have a chance 2 more sets, so I'm ready to play 2 more hours. So I'm younger than Novak, so I don't
know. Ouch. But true.
He beat Novak, so.
He beat Novak. And that was the fantastic match. And he plays incredibly well.
He does very good. With his glasses and all.
With his glasses a bit unique. Sadly, he should be playing computer games, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think so. But he's the first South Korean to actually get into, I think it was a semi-final and even a quarter-final.
Yeah, he made it to the semi.
So that is huge, huge news in Korea.
Yeah, good for him.
He's going to be back, I reckon. He sounds like he's, like, the way he was playing, if he can keep that up. And he retired last night, which I was disappointed by. Because I thought Federer could have lost that. If he played as well as he did in that quarter-final and even in the fourth round, he could easily have taken Federer out.
Ooh. I don't know. Looking at the score, though,
because he had all these blisters on his foot.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe.
Without that, he would have trounced him.
Yeah, I guess so. He's a very good player.
Because he was, I don't know. Did you watch the other match?
I only saw a bit of the one with Novak, and that was it.
Yeah, but he was playing, like, on fire.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he's very good. He's very good. I think he'll be back next year.
Kyrgios, too, earlier in the week.
He lost.
This is what he had to say. He didn't get booed off the court this year, which is quite an interesting...
That's good.
Weird.
I think he's grown up a bit.
It's weird.
I think he should be booed.
I missed the summer of the booing and the controversy, but the bad boys
of tennis. Now it's time to get booed.
But he's not even in the game. He's that shit.
Maybe next time.
Next time.
I just thought he didn't believe in himself. You know, sometimes I think he lacks a bit of belief. Buffy has got the game, and he's proved to everyone he can win one of these, you know, slams. So I just told him to believe in himself, and hopefully he can go well. But I'm going to let it work.
Now, hold on. Kyrgios is now giving advice to other people.
Yeah, I know.
What the hell? When did this happen? What the hell? What happened in 2018?
He's grown up.
What happened? nice thoughts, though, obviously. This is weird. Like, this is...
Yeah, it is. I told him to do your best, and then lost the next game anyway, so...
Yeah, well, it didn't kind of work out, nonetheless. Maybe that was the poison chalice, really. After that, it was all gone. But who's going to win the final of the men's there?
Well, the men's final is on Monday. We've got...
Can Federer do it?
Maran Cilic and...
Cilic's looking good.
Yeah, he's very good. I mean, he's like, world number six, Federer world number two. So, but that numbers don't matter, really.
Federer is awesome.
They don't, because Nadal had to retire, and Grigor lost, and Alexander lost, and Dominic lost as well, so it's... I don't think it really matters. I don't think Federer's going to get his fairy tale.
Ooh.
I think he's going to lose.
Because Cilic against Edmund, the other new up-and-comer, was actually quite solid as well. I think he was actually... Yeah, it's going to be tough.
I don't know. I don't think Cilic will win. Oh, sorry, I think Cilic... Oh, I just said he
won't
win.
But if he does win, he can't retire now, can he?
Federer? Yeah. No, he won't retire.
So he gets to Wimbledon, right?
So he gets his 20th.
So he gets to Wimbledon. That's the one he plays best at, right?
Yeah, he's won that, like, quite a lot.
when he was talking about his shoes or whatever it was. I think he was talking about his shoes. He was talking about his shoes. I don't know.
One of those endorsement deals there.
I think it was. It was a long talk about his shoes because he puts little logos on his shoes. Very, very good way to put it in the conversation.
Yeah, Wimbledon is the one he's won the most.
So I reckon that's where he could, you know.
He won last year as well, so.
Could he get the whole Grand Slam?
I don't think so. I
can't see why not.
I think if he does, then he'll retire. He'll retire at the end of the year, I think, if he does that.
Or could he just go to 40?
He could.
That would be embarrassing to everyone else on the tour. Like, they should just sack everybody else. Isn't that
this
incompetent?
40-year-old guy.
When the 40-year-old can defeat the 21-year-olds?
But he's the greatest of all time. Like, Federer's the best of all time. No Pete Sampras, no.
That's true, yeah.
No
Kyrgios? No.
Not yet.
Tommy?
Kyrgios could, eventually.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. No. He's the most accomplished athlete of any sport. Like, that's what a lot of people say. He is, like.
He is. Like, he's really, he's very, very. Besides French Open, he's only won once.
Yeah, but French, who cares?
That's Nadal's territory. But in the finals, I think.
Now, you said numbers didn't matter, Steve, by the way. You said numbers don't matter.
We're talking about accomplishments. We're not talking about ranking.
But numbers don't matter, right? It doesn't matter if you're one or two or whatever.
Then if that didn't matter, he could retire now.
But in the women's singles,
yeah,
one versus two.
See, that's
magic. That's exactly how it's meant to work, Steve. So it's really simple who's going to win, right?
We've got Simona Halep and Caroline Wozniacki.
Simple. One versus
she's
two.
Number one, right?
Done.
No, but first the worst, second the best, so.
Ooh. Is that your tip then?
It's high school stuff. I think. Well, to be honest, I don't know how either have been going this tournament, so. To be honest, but I think Caroline will probably win.
You think?
Yeah. She's my pick.
Your pick?
I guess you have to go the other one, right? Simona, maybe.
I don't actually know. I don't actually know. I think they've both been playing pretty well.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see how they go.
But I think you might be right. I think she. I don't know. It's evenly matched. Like, they're pretty much.
Well, it's tonight.
Pegging,
it's tonight
right?
At 6, 7 o'clock.
Yep. So by the time we broadcast the podcast, the result will be known. So whatever it is, we'll be wrong.
So we should guess, right? I think it's going to be Caroline 6-4, 6-2.
Wow, that's harsh. I think it'd be 3 sets.
Oh.
Just because otherwise you get ripped off.
Yeah, that's true.
Turning up to a tennis tournament and they're like only getting 2 sets.
Should the women's get more sets like the men?
Equality.
I don't know.
Well, there's talk they might make the men's game 3 sets.
They should.
Because 4 sets, I think, like, and that's a lot of what's happening too now lately, is, but it changes the game so much.
Does it?
It does, because, you know, you get a lot of those 5-set classics. Like, this is one of the best matches in tennis.
Yeah, true.
Mind you, like, they're only good watching them at the last 5th set, because obviously the first 4 sets are inconsequential. But
no one's watching the whole game.
Some of the, like, epic tennis battles of all time have always been in that 5th set where it goes on.
Well, like the Federer and Nadal one at a couple, last year as well.
Can you imagine that was 3 sets?
Mm. It wouldn't be as historic.
Wouldn't be as awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe like everyone paid. Maybe like, 7 sets.
Oh my god, no way.
No, that would be a bit
No,
harsh.
I think 3 sets is the right number.
Right number?
Yeah.
Now, talking about numbers, interesting enough, Steph, so you know about old Steph Blatter?
Yes.
How's
he going?
Is he in prison yet?
No, he's not.
He should be, is my tip.
What's he doing?
What do you mean, wow? He should be in prison.
Yeah?
He was the dodgiest bugger of all time. Okay.
But he's not in there, so he can't be.
He's not in there, no. Apparently, he hasn't got there yet. So apparently, he's been writing in some interesting comments he's been making. He's doing interviews and stuff like that. And he said Australia had no chance, not a chance, never.
In what? Oh, in the
to
FIFA.
Get the 2022 World Cup.
That's right, yeah.
The football-loving nature of Qatar, obviously a much better choice.
Wow, so he was biased.
No, but he was playing a double act. He was going around saying, like, obviously when we paid all this money from the taxpayer, saying that you got it in with a chance. And I think he said in the past before Australia would be a good chance, they should put their name in it.
But he has to say that, so he gets money.
Yeah, but then we've got no chance. Talk about...
What a
meanie.
Wow.
What
a jerk.
He basically said, you never had a chance because you're never going to be competitive for the broadcast. It's not the time zone, not the money. It is obvious. We make enough money at the World Cup for the next 4 years and Australia won't be able to do it.
That's a bit harsh.
But then again, like, what about, does that mean anyone in Asia? They've had games in Asia before, same time zone.
Yeah.
But that's a big market for them, I would have
thought. Qatar's, like, perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, Qatar's in a better time zone.
Is the time zone a problem?
5 hours difference.
It's not a problem.
It is for broadcasters in Europe and in America.
Nah,
we're in a very awkward time zone.
Who cares?
Well, we've got the Olympics. That doesn't seem a problem about the Olympics. No. They just made the swimming in the morning.
Yeah, see.
They had to make compromises to make things work.
Do stuff at night time. It's not that difficult.
Well, daytime.
Well, daytime, whatever.
Because in the Olympics, you want Americans to watch it, right? That's where all the big money comes from.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah. Well, I guess I can see the problem there. But FIFA, it doesn't matter.
But you play games in Europe, you've got to have to start playing at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, then they better get up early.
You play nighttime football, but just really early.
I guess I can see his problem, but you probably shouldn't say they never had a chance. That's a bit harsh.
Yeah, I think it's harsh. And obviously, why it went to Qatar. There was also a rumour that Al Jazeera paid $100 million.
Wow.
Not sure if that's true, but apparently there's a rumour. Why did Al Jazeera pay that much?
Didn't they just like...
They don't broadcast soccer, last time I checked.
No. And aren't they closing down?
Well, their neighbours want them to close it down, apparently.
That's right, yeah.
They're friendly neighbours they have there. They're having a few issues with their neighbours there.
You know how you have issues with your neighbours, Glenn? Get off my lawn.
Basically what they have, like literally the whole place, the whole country there has been bombarded by all the people, you know, all the friendly neighbours around them or whatever. And
that's sad.
It is a bit sad, really.
Yeah.
Now in cricket, very sad too.
How's cricket going?
Well, not well, really. I don't know. The one days have not been Australia's strong point.
Oh, that's sad.
Now, even Steve Smith was not happy with the soft signal dismissal.
Soft signal?
Let's have, I don't know what it is, but he's going to explain it to us.
I got given out, so had to walk off the field. You know, I've just been saying to a few people out there just now, with the ruling, I'm not sure I'm a big fan of the ruling with the soft signal. We've seen a few this summer that have been pretty similar, and, you know, if the fielder goes up and actually, you know, sort of celebrates, they usually get given out, and if you're a bit sort of apprehensive of what's happened, they normally get given not out. And
so lesson learnt there, always be confident.
Yeah, that's
always
true.
Celebrate.
Yeah, you should always be confident, I guess.
I think it's true, though. I think he's got a point.
Yeah, to an extent, sure.
Of course it happens. Right. Australia was lucky yesterday. They did win by 3 wickets on Australia Day.
Right. You want them to win on Australia Day, right?
Yeah, we're going to win. It's going to be Australia Day.
That would have been a bit awkward if they didn't win on Australia Day.
It would really ruin the game, really. It would really...
It'd ruin the whole day, Glenn. Honestly.
It would ruin the day, yes.
Yes, unfortunately, Sydney are out of the Big Bash, though, Glenn.
Oh, what a surprise. What a surprise.
Yeah, I don't think it was that much of a surprise.
Can you explain what's going on? It's all very confusing. I haven't been following.
Okay,
who cares about
I think we've got this. Okay.
You've got it?
So far in the semis, Perth, Scorchers and Adelaide Strikers are in their rounds for the semis.
Right.
But we still have two other games to go today. We got Melbourne Stars and Hobart Hurricanes in Melbourne. And Brisbane Heat and Melbourne Renegades in Brisbane. So whoever wins those two games will be taking on Perth and Adelaide in their respective brackets. Done.
Oh, see, nailed it. Nailed it in one. And this is why I don't care about it, because quite frankly, all those people, meh.
Because there's no Sydney team, so who cares?
Exactly. Who
could
gives a rat's?
Do not care.
Obviously, we are a very unbiased podcast.
Hey, if Sydney was in there, we'd care more.
Sydney was in there, we would be like covering that from end to end.
Because we've got like two Sydney teams, right?
Adelaide and frickin' Perth. Where the hell's that place?
No, never been there. Never heard of it.
I've been to Adelaide.
Oh, really? How was it?
More than once.
I've been to Brisbane.
Been to Brisbane?
Yeah.
Adelaide's
and Melbourne. I've been to Melbourne, so...
Adelaide's interesting.
Yeah?
Not exciting, but interesting.
I'll have to go one day.
It's like a nice country town.
Oh, well, you got that around here anyway.
Yeah. I don't need to go there, really.
No. I might go there if I'm like... I'll stop at a layover or something.
Got nothing to do for a day? Go to Adelaide. There's a lot of ads on TV at the moment to say to go to Adelaide.
Oh.
Really weird. And
why?
What? I don't know, but the ads actually make it look really exciting. And I was like, I went to Adelaide. It wasn't exciting.
Well, did you see the new tourism ads for Crocodile Dundee?
Crocodile Dundee's back?
No, they did a fake tourism ad with Chris Hemsworth and an actor, and they titled it Dundee. They were acting like it was a sequel to Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, no.
But it was for Tourism Australia.
So. Oh, dear. Where the bloody hell are you? ouch.
We'll play it in TV news or something, maybe. But.
Sure, we'll get some tourism publicity on this program.
So, that's it for the Big Bash. Anything else?
Football. Big news in football this
week.
What's happening? The Socceroos got a new coach.
Yeah, they do.
Now, they've actually gone Dutch.
Oh. Mm. Going Dutch is pretty
not
good.
Not like putting money in like to a meal or anything. Or,
no.
Or the other concept of Dutch, not wearing clogs or anything. But the guy might wear clogs, we don't know. Ooh. But they've taken a new coach, Brett van Marwijk or something. Don't ask me how to pronounce his name. Okay. Why don't they go with the Aussie guy?
Much easier to pronounce.
Didn't announce it on Australia, which was a good idea. But he basically took some teams to the World Cup before.
Mm-hmm.
And basically there's been a long association with Dutch type of styles of football play in Australia. So he's got a very strong coaching career.
That's good to hear.
He's obviously been involved a little bit with teams that have played Australia once or twice. So he knows a lot about the players, apparently, he reckons.
That's a good thing.
Nice, good start. So it's attacking play, positionless formations, and getting possession. It's a total football idea, and that's what he's going to bring to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, be interesting.
Well, that's good to hear. Hopefully he does well.
He'll only be there for a short time. I suspect he's only there for the World Cup, and then they might go somewhere else. There was some talk they've approached some local coaches in the A-League. That mm-hmm. didn't seem to happen. But, yeah, big call. If he loses, we'll hate him and we'll exile him. But if he works, we'll love him.
Well, yeah,
remember Goss Goodick, whatever his name was? Like it was the campaign in the World Cup in Germany back in 2006.
Oh, no, I don't remember.
You don't remember that? He was a legend. Oh, everyone loved old Gus.
And then what happened?
Well, then he then helped someone else get there. But anyway. So he has helped teams before. He was he led the Netherlands to the World Cup final in 2010, which would be nice if he got us there. He got Saudi Arabia into the direct qualifications. So he's got form. Let's put it this way.
Well, that's good to hear.
So it'll be interesting how he goes.
See how he goes, I guess.
A-League results too. Western Sydney last week lost 3-0, as we mentioned last week. And this week they play Perth Glory.
Hopefully they'll win 3-0.
They should, because Perth Glory is second last on the ladder. So there's some hope yet for Wanderers fans.
And Wanderers are at last?
No, we're sixth.
Oh, that's good. We're
competitive. Just okay. Sydney FC is... it's actually embarrassing. Sydney FC is having such a good season. They've lost only one game this season. They've drawn 4 and won 13.
Oh, wow.
They are actually having an incredible season. They are powerhousing across everybody else. They're literally 6 + 3 is what? 9 points ahead of their nearest rival, the Newcastle Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And Newcastle, too, having a revival this year as well. Like, Newcastle's not been known as a competitive A-League team for a generation. So Newcastle's actually flying high, too.
Well, that's good.
Which is good. It could be a Sydney FC versus Newcastle final.
That's all right, as long as there's like sort of Sydney teams.
Unless Western Sydney can sort of sneak up the ladder and get up there, maybe. Just take on Adelaide.
That would be great.
Don't think it's going to happen, but nonetheless. But good news, too. Also, too, there was a report about the video assistant referee, the VAR. The good old VAR. You know, VAR.
Good old VAR.
VAR.
How's VAR going?
Apparently, it's proven highly accurate. According to a report that's been done, apparently it's been 98.9% accurate. It's been used in 2/3 of matches since it started. So it's still in experimental stage, but apparently it's very accurate. So
it's good to hear.
100% actually would be possible. Impossible, not possible to 100% accuracy, which is fair enough.
That's not too bad.
And they also calculated how long it was lost to, like, times. About 1% of game time was lost checking all the stuff, so... it's interesting. It's interesting how they do it too. Unlike in cricket and in football, they stop the game. In soccer, it's kind of the game can still happen while they do the checks.
Oh, right.
They can kind of, like, you know, make a call in the background and
then bring it up later.
Bring it up later at the right time. What right. Yeah. Keeping on soccer too, Sam Kerr, Young Australian of the Year.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's what people wanted, right? They want to.
She's on the Matildas team, one of the best soccer players in the world.
Yeah. Very good. I was very surprised by that.
I wasn't.
Really?
Good pick. Who else did you pick?
I don't know anyone else, to be honest.
Don't know anyone else. So that's
so I guess sense. It is a good pick.
Good pick. and in sad news in football, Graham Langlands, one of the immortals, dies in a Sydney nursing home.
Oh.
Age 76.
That's a bit sad.
Very sad. He was, you know, very respected to call him the game. He was a dragon. He had dementia and Alzheimer's. He died in a nursing home. I think another legend too has also got the same situation. He's also quite ill as well. Interesting enough, side note to this story too, is he won't face court over allegations of sexual crimes as well, which was on because of he can't defend himself now, so it'll never be proven either way. So the court won't occur now. But and obviously being dementia, I don't think it would have gone to court.
They would have played up dementia for quite a long time.
Well, it probably made it very difficult for cross-examination if someone had dementia.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, that was probably the only one side note to that story, but he was still an immortal legend of the game.
Yeah.
Back in the 60s, I think it was.
Oh, that was quite
back in the day. Back in the day.
Back in the day. Basketball, Glenn.
What's happening? The Kingdom?
The Kingdom are coming last, unfortunately.
Bit sad, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's very sad. They've won 6 games this season, lost 15, so obviously they're at the bottom of the ladder, a bit unfortunate. However...
all my teams are doing rubbish right now.
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong. But they are playing tomorrow against Melbourne, so I don't expect them to do quite well as Melbourne is first. So, first, last, numbers don't matter. So, we'll see how they go. I have faith that they'll win, Glenn. They won their last game, which was a couple of days ago. So
yeah, it's all right. Now, the Winter Olympic teams was announced this week.
Australia did really well, it looks like.
Tora Bright's not going to be there.
That's a bit disappointing.
That's a bit sad, but you know, no brightness will be there.
There's many disappointments this time around, I think. Glenn.
But it's not the worst disappointment. She was good enough. But there's another bunch of people, the women's bobsled team.
Yeah.
And the uncool runnings episode of the games.
It's very
were
uncool.
Enough to qualify for Olympic standards.
That's good.
But
it came as quite as a shock.
Young women's bobsledders Brianna Walker, Ashley Werner and Michaela Dunn met international standards and won a place.
Having competed the way we did and having gotten that quota spot, we were incredibly excited to use that to fuel us into the next, I guess, 4 years. So, yeah, it was quite devastating to realise, I guess, in that phone call what was happening.
They're governing.
So apparently Sliding Sports Australia done a bit of a slide and a shift and said they weren't good enough.
Well, that's not fair. Clearly, they are good.
They made the Olympics, but they weren't good enough.
But they qualified and they're good.
Yeah.
But not good enough.
Sounds like they didn't want to spend the money to let them go.
Oh, that's a bit sad. Surely they can cut somewhere else.
Get rid of the men's. Or the men's are...
The men's are pretty good, though.
Better team. But it does seem a bit harsh. Like, if you got to the international standard, and, like, the AOC can't overrule them, but they said in a statement that, in many cases, we have sent someone that might be just made it in, but they get to the Olympics and all of a sudden the experience, A, makes them a great athlete in the future,
yeah.
Or B, they end up becoming...
Well, it's just the experience of them going.
Yeah, why
they couldn't just send them anyway.
Cheap airline, I don't know.
Just to watch.
just to bring their bobsled across, I guess.
I don't know. I think they deserve to go.
I do too. I actually think it's a bit cruel.
Yeah.
Cruel.
That would have been so upsetting, not just for them, but like a lot of women as well, I think.
Mind you, I must say, all the Winter Olympians that did get to the team did have the best YouTube videos.
Oh, from when they got the announcement?
They have done incredibly well. Like, yeah. Everyone done a good YouTube video.
I think they were trying to all, like...
Except for these guys who had a pretty shit YouTube video because they didn't get in. It's kind of a bit of a downer, but...
I like the one where it's the ice... I think the ice skaters had the best one. These two guys were ice skating and then there's people holding up placards like injury and falling over and now avoiding it because they had previous problems. You might have seen it.
I did see that. That was quite
good. I thought that was a good one too.
It's YouTube, Australian Olympic team on the internet. You'll find them. but it's not the only bobsled team with controversy as well.
Who else?
Apparently the Korean team.
Yes, we touched on it last week. A bit.
Few issues. So they're going to have a joint team. Then the idea they're going to have a joint bobsled team hasn't gone down well with the South Korean bobsled team.
I wonder why.
They've kind of went, no. Because they have kind of said, well, we've been training for years. We've kind of got a gelled system here. Maybe not a good idea to bring all the North Koreans into the team now. Bad timing.
Ooh.
Think that's fair, Steve?
They got to ease it in. I don't think it's fair, but...
Well, come on.
We had this long discussion. Not going to go through it again, but... My
point. Don't start a war, Steve. Don't start a war.
No. But my point was, if they're clearly trained for the exact same stuff, they should be able to bobsled with each other. No, it's because they're North and South and they don't want to work together.
Like how our show's gotten like so much better without Peter.
And Mick, that's true, it has.
Without Mick.
Actually, we're doing pretty good, Glenn.
Really good, yeah.
South, North, it works pretty well.
Are we South or North?
I don't know. Well, I'd be South, you'd be North, right? Wouldn't you?
Don't think so. I'm the crazy guy.
Yes.
Boom. Tell you what. Winter Olympics, it's only less than a week and a bit to go.
I'm going to check it out, Glenn. The ice hockey I'm going to watch.
And the bobsled?
No, because I'm disappointed the women didn't get in. But I'll watch it anyway. Because I've never watched it. I've never watched the Olympics before.
The Winter Olympics?
I've never watched the Winter Olympics. I've been to the Olympics.
Which means you watch them, or do you just close your eyes and not see them?
No, I just pretend.
It's not happening.
I'm not here. No, I've watched that, but I've never watched it. I probably have. I can't recall.
Well, at the end of the day, we have made a world record on this sports segment.
I think it's the longest sports segment.
Longest sports segment ever. 31 minutes.
Wow. And still, we can still keep going, Glenn, if you like.
We'll stop now.
All right. Welcome back to the program. It is time, Glenn, for your own segment. It's made the return.
It's made a return because Mick was going to come today, but unfortunately he's still got some health issues. So
that's all right, Mick. You get better.
He'll get better. He'll be back madder and better than ever. But until then, Burning Man.
Burning Man. What's...
Not to be confused with the very famous festival in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Because that would make this event so much cooler.
It would, because then we'd actually
burn stuff.
Well, you'd want to burn stuff after this. You're pretty angry, Glenn.
I'm angry. Not the Premier wasn't angry. The Premier was ecstatically happy on Friday.
Of course, glad.
No, was it happy. Wednesday? She was happy on Wednesday, I think. Here is happy, yeah. Glad.
Fair to say the government is extremely relieved the Fair Work Commission has ruled in our favour.
We will obviously accept the ruling of the Commission.
Now, let's just remember that the Premier's happy with the outcome. So there was going to be a train strike on Monday, yes. All-out train strike. I don't catch a train on Monday, don't care. People do, apparently. It's going to cost the economy $90 million.
Yeah.
The union did respond to that and said that's not a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was a pretty callous thing to say.
That's a shitty excuse.
That is a rubbish excuse, because the union didn't really understand is that I think the total wage bill of all the train drivers is about $120
million. Oh, wow.
So, like, if they're saying that the impact of the whole economy is $90 million doesn't matter... Well, and their wages don't matter either.
Yeah.
It's just a too small amount.
But they can't say that, though.
Clearly not, because it's the union. Like, the argument was stupid. The argument on both sides has been stupid. What's most disturbing about this, the overtime ban would happen on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically meant the train services were cut down to a smidgen.
Yeah.
Did you catch the train on Thursday?
No, I didn't.
You missed out. Apparently it was great fun.
I know. I heard it was a lot of problems.
It was awesome fun. Then it wasn't a problem in the afternoon, because it was a long weekend and I went home early. It's a long weekend. It normally happens. That's not a surprise. Just in. But then on the weekend too, the union has enforced a two-day rule where they won't return to work without roster notification change.
Right.
That's in their agreement, even though they caused the bloody strike in the first place and didn't decide to turn up to work. So the trains are still not running to full timetable. So on this weekend, they're still running at half hour. They're running on half a weekend timetable.
Well, you caught the train in, right, didn't you?
So annoyed.
How was it?
Actually was lucky, everything connected really well, but if I would have missed my connection, it would have been half an hour wait.
Oh, wow.
Back to the bad old days, the bad timetable.
Half an hour.
But what I think is really, I think the union does have a point here, because if the overtime ban happened and they're cut half the services, does that mean the government hasn't figured out how many train drivers to run the timetable with? Because who runs a business with that much overtime?
The trains, clearly.
But who else does that, right? Like, the timetable, last time I checked, Steve, like, it's the same every week.
Yeah.
Like, every week, like, there's a Monday timetable, a Tuesday timetable, a Thursday timetable.
And it doesn't change that often.
They might have some special events. You might have overtime for special events and stuff.
Sports,
but, like,
and things, yeah.
If they can't get the normal timetable to work regularly, what the?
They got,
like,
bigger
if they
problems.
Can, if the peak hour trains depend on overtime, the government is wasting a bucket load of cash.
I think that's the problem.
And actually, they've been too short of drivers, and actually they've probably got a big problem there. And then if you're a train driver, don't you want overtime?
Because you want more money.
Like, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
At their wage, they get like about $40,000 of roughly in allowances and overtime allowances and stuff like that. So it's almost a third of their pay.
So you'd want to do overtime.
So I wouldn't be striking too much about that, because the government might realise if we hire more train drivers...
You won't do overtime.
We won't have an overtime problem.
But then you won't get overtime, so...
And you have less money. And then you have to get more of a pay rise. Oh.
Yeah, see how it works.
Not that it's about money, though, Steve, right?
That's
not about money.
That's what the union said. This isn't about money.
It is. But that wasn't the worst thing, though.
No.
The worst thing was this joker, the union thug.
Oh.
The government's a thug, but this guy's a thug,
too. Not about money.
This is not about money. Let's call him Moneyballs.
I always said to the public and anybody that wanted to listen, when I get a reasonable offer that's put to me, I will go out and put it to the membership. I did that. Last night was an imperfect process, I get that, but it was a poll of our membership. Quite clearly, the membership told me what I suspected all along. This is not about money. The minister kept trying to make this about money. It's never been about money. And Andrew, with all respect, don't attack me on this. I'm very passionate about this. I have always said it's about conditions. It will be eventually, obviously. This is about our working conditions and our right to have days off, for God's sake. You can have days off. We want to have them off as well.
So we're going to strike on Monday and not turn up and have all our days off on a Monday.
Yeah. I love that. It'll be about money eventually.
Not about money. But it gets better. He then defends the stupidity of the frickin' SMS poll. This is like...
It's so stupid.
I kind of agree with them to a point that they can negotiate, go on strike, whatever. But, like, when they defend the SMS poll of bullshit...
That was dodgy.
Let's have a listen.
Sorry, anybody else want to talk to me? This guy is not fair to get... Look, no, I had... Yes, because I sent out what the company gave me. I legitimately sent out what they gave me, right? Did I not? No, because we had nothing. You saw the documents that we were trying to negotiate on. They were that thick, right?
They gave me a proposal last night and I did the right thing. Within a couple of hours, that was out there for my members to look at. I put out there what I was given and I stand by everything I have done every step of the bloody way here, and I will continue to do that to bring our service back online.
The government's already been going to the problems.
Look, I can tell you that we, like I said, we were manning the phones, we were ringing everybody, we did everything conceivably possible. The text messaging system that we tried to use last night did have some difficulties, but ultimately we got over 6,000 text messages went out, and we only got about 360 responses. So that told us that our members clearly don't see that the offer on the table is sufficient.
So no responses.
I'm not even listening to you. Listen, so what needs to happen, obviously, is what I've said. I need the minister to come to the table tomorrow.
Later on in that press conference, I'm going to play the whole bunch of this clown's comments here. But he does say, if there's a better way, tell me what it is, Steve. Could you think of a better way you could send the text message out by chance?
Yeah, there's probably a much better way.
Let's rehash like what happened here. He sent a text message out saying, do you support
Yes, if you support the new action.
Send us yes. And if it's a no, don't do anything.
Yeah.
And could you imagine if the same-sex clever site was like that?
But
no, would like have a landslide.
Yeah, I know.
We'd have no government.
That's how all elections should be, I think.
Yeah. It was a loaded question full of rubbish. Like, if he was genuine, fair dinkum about it, here's a better way.
Yeah.
Ask the question, do you support us suspending the action or not? Yeah. Yes or no. Count the yeses, count the noes. You don't respond, you haven't participated.
Yeah.
He's made a big assumption that his 6,000 members that didn't participate actually were noes.
No, they just didn't have an opinion on it.
Like that was indefensible colours bullshit.
Yeah. He really went with that narrative, though, that they were against it.
Yeah, and then the media's against me and all this stuff. And no, you stuffed up and you should own it. And
he asked the media how to do it better.
Because that's their job, right?
Yeah.
To
send SMSs and stuff. Yeah, wouldn't do
he was rattled there for about 12 minutes on live TV. It was absolutely callously flawless. And he made the government look good in a situation where the government shouldn't maybe have looked as good.
Yeah.
Because the government, I think, has got a free pass here because... Yeah. They're wasting taxpayers' money on overtime left, right and centre.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be doing that. Like, they've got to get those drivers on board.
The government did win, though, sort of, for now.
And they did. And the problem with the train strike was is that they've actually inconvenienced a bunch of customers. And that's where they're always going to lose in the public opinion stakes is that when my train's running late...
You're going to blame the train. You're not going to blame the government for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, awkwardly this week, too, a train ran into a... thing as well.
Oh, really?
At Richmond, which was probably bad timing
that's
as well.
Right. Yeah, not all good timing.
Never a good way to look. But I don't know, but automatic train drivers are probably going to be a new big thing. And this is the other big thing that the minister said before as well, is they're going to actually replace. And Mad Mick's not here today. He would just think it'd be a terrible idea. Except it's taking the world by storm. There's so many trains around the world now that don't need train drivers.
That's dangerous. I don't
know. No, I've been on the many times.
Glenn, it is dangerous.
It's not dangerous.
It could break
it's on
down.
A track.
It could break down.
And then what happens?
You're stuck.
It's okay.
You're going to be there for a long time because there's no driver.
But if the driver that breaks down, it's going to take a long time.
Yeah, but it'd be done sufficiently, I think.
I think it'll still be rubbish either way.
No, I would never try. It's just like driverless.
You would never get in a driverless train.
I'd probably been on one. I wouldn't even know, to be honest. Have I been on
one? Do you ever check that there's a driver in the front? Do you know there's one there?
No, most of the time there isn't one. As far as I know.
No, there is always one there normally in Australia.
Usually at the back or the other side, right, left or right. But
yeah, I think we generally don't have any driverless trains yet. But they are putting one for the metro in Sydney. They're going to have a driverless train. So you won't be catching the train to the metro line, to the northwest.
Well, I don't go there normally anyway, so.
It was good. It works for you.
No, but...
But you should hear the driverless train union. They are really dangerous.
I hear they voted no when they didn't say anything.
Put it this way, if the driver's train union has a problem about pay, they'll just shut down. They'll screw your life over. Like, you think these unions are bad? Whoa.
Yeah, you won't go to court on that one.
No, was that movie about that? There's a movie about when the robots take over.
iRobot? There's quite a lot.
Yeah,
Terminator?
There's a thousand of them, but it looks like there's 6 weeks of industrial peace. Actually, it's still stuffed today on Saturday. It was stuffed yesterday.
I think they'll have problems on Monday as well.
No, it's meant to be back to normal by Monday. So I
think
the union.
I don't think.
You think the union might just do some little.
Yeah, I think there'll be a bunch that will just won't.
Because they are a very difficult workforce to manage. Like, they are very unionized and sometimes very irrationally stupid. Like,
and that was embarrassing to hear and watch.
Like, because what he should have been really doing, like, if they had the offer on the table and really got to consider it, suspend it for a week or two, send it a proper text poll, then people would respect it. But, like, if you're going to just take the mickey and then defend your stupidity.
And that's exactly what he did. Moneyballs did.
Moneyballs did. Moneyballs Dodo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe text balls.
Text balls.
Money text balls.
Text balls.
Dodo. Or no balls.
Well,
he's got balls, I'll give him credit. He sat there and defended
he's just
himself.
Shit stirring.
And he actually, like, he had a good heart about it, but. And some of his points is right. I'm doing what the union says. I'm just there to represent people. He's up for election this year.
Is he? I don't think he's going to get it.
I think he made it because you've got to remember the union there is, he's representing, like, he's in the payroll, right? You're, if you're a member of the union, and they should have a right to negotiate as much as they can.
Yeah.
And it's been a protracted negotiation on both sides, and it's probably fought on both sides. The minister's not always been friendly.
Yeah.
He's not particularly pro-union.
No.
And he sometimes does say stupid things. Like no refunds, still no refunds for all the hassles over the weekend.
Yeah, apparently
like
not.
I got half a service. Do I not get half price
you
fare?
You don't. You still got to pay your full Opal fare.
Disgraceful.
Yeah.
Still disgraceful. Actually, it still annoys me.
It would annoy you, I think.
I should pay half price.
Makes you burning mad.
Burning mad. Until next week. Mick, please come back.
Welcome back to the program. It is time for the Wild West.
It's Wild West. Did you have a good Australia Day, Steve?
I did, actually. I spent it with family.
Did you protest or celebrate?
No, I celebrated. Definitely celebrated.
I was indifferent. I just thought it was a good day.
Really? You were indifferent? Oh, I enjoyed my day off, and I
call it Mum's birthday.
Well, it's your mother's birthday as well. Yeah. Good job, Mrs. Glenn.
Mrs. Glenn. No, no, that's...
Oh, I didn't want to say your last name.
Excellent.
No, it was good. I spent it with family. We had a barbecue, so it was good, like a little get together.
Did you miss the George A. Hottest 100?
Well, it's on today. I've been keeping up right now, but I gotta say I did miss it. Yeah, I did.
Did you know I actually found out too? Apparently, they're gonna replay over the weekend the Triple J 100's weekend. Is Pauline Pants Down the video clip?
Oh wow!
They're gonna be replaying.
Really?
Because of a court hearing in Queensland. Because they're a national network in Queensland. The song's been banned since 1997 and is still banned.
Wow.
Except not on YouTube. YouTube.
No, you can't ban it on YouTube.
It's so funny.
Well, Glenn, I think we'll end the show with that.
Nah, I think copyright restrictions about that. That's the one downside.
Oh, damn.
That will take us over that. But I'm still surprised that the ABC isn't gutless. It's too gutless to play it. Because I've listened back to it and it's not
that bad.
It's not that bad.
There's worse songs out there.
Compared to Pizzagate, it's rather unpleasant, really.
Yeah, that's true.
But... Donald Trump's right, big defamation.
Oh, he's got his own problems this week.
What did he do this week?
Oh, what was it? He got booed at the conference that they had.
The World Economic Forum?
Yeah.
You get booed by rich people?
He got booed. Yeah.
Really?
He did, yeah.
By rich people?
Yeah, he got booed. He got booed off stage.
They got tax cuts and all this stuff.
They don't care, they don't like him.
Must be tough.
Oh, it must be tough being Donald Trump, of course. That sounded believable.
But talking about the Australia says Australia Day, most of MacArthur region's mayors are all opposed to changing the day, so that's not a surprise. Readers to the advertiser, most said they don't support the change. Some do. Some are indifferent, but most said they should keep it as it is.
Yeah.
Interesting enough, the Greens are interesting this week too, Steve. They did say there was an ongoing genocide in the country and we should change the date.
Is there?
That's what I was understanding, the ongoing genocide.
Where's it still going?
Like, do they know what genocide means?
Yeah, I don't think they do.
Like, I think that was taken a little bit too far. I could understand that, like, no one's going out murdering people right now. We're not eradicating a race of people.
The guy did stab the cop yesterday and things.
Yeah, but it's not like eradicating.
No, that's not a genocide.
No, not a genocide. That's just a civil incident.
Yeah.
But it's disgraceful. That is a disgraceful attitude to have. Like, you can change the date, whatever, but to say genocide and just bring up the genocide card, you know, the old genocide card?
The classic... classic
no, genocide card. I thought they were the Hitler card. Like, it's a date, guys. Get over it.
Yeah, that's seriously pathetic. Give them another day, they'll be all right.
I'm happy another day. We said that last
As long as it's a public holiday.
As long as it's a public holiday, yes. Do not have a day without a public holiday. One thing you've got to get right.
Well, they're also thinking of keeping the...
But to be fair, I think Andrew Bolt's going to join them soon.
Really?
Because he was actually injured. He's actually off work at the moment.
Andrew Bolt?
Andrew Bolt, he's off work. Apparently he was climbing a tree and fell out of a tree.
Karma.
The joke now, he's a tree hugger.
Ah, okay. Sucked in.
So he's gone green for the weekend. He actually likes magpies and trees.
Does he?
Yeah.
What he was doing up the tree, though? What was he doing?
He was close. Catching magpies, I guess.
No, he would have been doing something.
I didn't read the rest of the story, but it was interesting.
Oh, okay. I completely missed that story this week.
Oh, you missed all the good stuff this week, Steve.
Wow, okay. Now,
in other news closer to home?
Yeah, a little bit closer to home now. There's a petition to ban fireworks at Koshigaya Park.
Oh, what?
Oh, people aren't happy. It's called Help Save the Wildlife and Bushlands in Campbelltown. The petition has received more than 1,000 signatures. Well, there you go. It's time to close it down. The loud bangs and lights stress animals. And they also want to start looking after the foxes as they play an important... So we've mentioned this before. The foxes and the koalas and all these animals are big important to the local area. So I don't think fireworks are that big of a deal. I can understand, like, dogs would get scared of them because they like to bark at them. As far as that goes, a petition just because it's threatening the lives of the flying fox, it's a bit too much, I think.
Mm.
You got to have fireworks at Australia Day and celebrations and things.
I think so. I saw them last night. They're quite nice.
Yeah, I could hear them last night as well. It's very nice.
My animals didn't care. I don't own any.
I don't have any either, and I didn't care.
Now, some Ingleburn residents are fuming.
Oh,
fuming.
Hope they're all right.
Janelle is fuming. Her kids were left stranded at a bus stop outside their school on three occasions last year, according to the advertiser. The 869 was due to stop outside Bardia Public. Didn't do so.
Bardia, wow.
They rang out the company, and each time they said, there's a new driver. The old new driver excuse.
He's still learning.
To be fair, the bus stop's pretty hard to see. Like, you look at the picture in the paper.
But if you can see kids standing there.
Well, yeah, you kind of, kids there standing there, you'd probably stop. But it's only like one of those, you know, those little yellow ones.
Oh, the
ones,
pole ones. The pole ones. Yeah, like, they're crap.
And I've been up there a couple of times because I like going to Bardia. One of my favourite places in the world.
It's your new favourite travel destination.
Up there with, you know, where else would you go in Sydney? Bardia. Do you know where Bardia is?
I don't.
That's what most people say. But it's near Emerson Park.
You know, I haven't even heard of it, Glenn. Until a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I know. It's actually one of those places no one knows where it is. But apparently, there's a bus driver, clearly. The left side, though, nowhere to get home. The bus company, Interline, did apologise. The driver left the stop prior to arrival of the students, and each time a replacement bus was sent, immediately they got the bus. Why not an Uber is my question.
Uber, bus, or
free students. Let's get an Uber up there, I would have thought. But
they should do that, yeah.
But apparently, they're going to have it sorted. She's going to be less fuming this year, hopefully, when they get it sorted. But there's still some upgrades in that road up there as well. And that school's, the government announced this week to a whole bunch of school upgrades in southwest Sydney, and it's one of the schools that will be upgraded along. Marillion's getting an upgrade, the one at Glenfield's getting an upgrade.
Excellent.
And Ingleburn's getting an upgrade too, with more classrooms to cope with the 300,000 people that are going to live out in the southwest.
That's good to hear.
There might be a few shorter classrooms, as the opposition says, but I'm sure that's coming in.
Yeah.
You know, there's not 300,000 people today.
Not.
They put all the classrooms today.
I'm sure they'll need some spaces.
They'll probably figure it out. One would
be all right.
No, quite beyond that, but one would figure out. They'll figure out some situations.
Now, speaking of Ingleburn, the Ingleburn Alive Festival will officially return on March the 3rd, which is great for the people of Ingleburn. Of course, there's going to be festivities and colours and sounds and there's going to be food and stores and I'm sure there'll be all these other things. That's it. There's just going to be all these other things. It's going to be on from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's kind of short, actually. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Is that it?
How long do you want?
I thought it'd be like an all day time. I guess because there'll be other festivals and things as well, so it kind of makes sense as well. That does make entirely a lot of sense.
Now, here's a question from the local paper. Look at pictures of Donatella Versace 20 years ago today.
Yep.
She's almost unrecognisable. Did you know that?
Don't even know what she looked like normally.
Well, if you look at her, it's funny enough, right? Look at the 62-year-old on Google. I don't know why they mentioned that as a quote, but apparently this is something to do with Ingleburn being regenerated. As we talked in the past couple of weeks, there's a lot of talk about this as part of the plan to put more houses between Glenford and MacArthur along the rail line. And basically, the people in Ingleburn are quite happy about this, some are. The Chamber of Commerce says, happy about the crossing across the railway line, two-way traffic along Brooks Road, happy about that.
Sure.
Concerns about how the project will be funded and waiting a long time, because all of these projects require development contribution levies, which take a while to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Labor MP Antelok Chantavong has said that lack of commitment to infrastructure is a problem, and green space, all the usual stuff. And Bob Thompson said, Ingleburn is dying. This very
Ingleburn's dying? I just said they got a live festival.
It's dying. It's dead.
But the Alive Festival's in March.
That's dying. It does need a bit of a bit of spackle and paint, maybe.
Yeah, a bit of like colour, maybe.
A bit of life, but then again, I don't know if it's dying. People still live there. It's still a bit of a place.
It's not dying.
They've got a new shopping centre there now. And
well, there you go. That's not dying.
Yeah, but it could be better. But I think they're going to put in more high-rise apartment buildings, so that will make it a lot more lively.
Population booming there. Anyway.
Yes, of course.
That's terrible. It's dying. It's not dying. What a crap. It might be boring, but it's not.
Could be more exciting. Could have shops open past 6 o'clock on a night time. But
that would be great.
That's kind of an Australian problem, but...
Yeah, more so than an England problem. From next week, Campbelltown and Macquarie Fields local area police commands will be consolidated into one. It'll be headed by Superintendent Wayne Benson, but he does promise that even though the two communities are coming together under the one roof, the police stations will not close and the focus will be on the Campbelltown police to continue to be keeping the area safe and hunting criminals and preventing crime. So even though that they are joining together...
It's crime hunting season, son.
They will still be putting a stop to crime and you will all be safe. So there's no worries. There's no change of hours at operations. So they'll be fine. Because I think people are panicking that because they're joining, it's going to be less police in the areas, Macquarie Fields and Campbelltown, which...
Just the hierarchy of the bosses, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Greyhound Rescue has made the move to Camden. So if your greyhounds need to be rescued, they're at Camden now. Basically, they're trying to look for people to do volunteer work, and you can have some, you know, cuddles with greyhounds.
Yeah.
Would you cuddle a greyhound?
The bus or the dog?
I've been on the bus. I don't think you'd be cuddling anything on the bus, to be honest. I don't know. Have you been on a greyhound bus lately?
No, I
haven't. Don't cuddle anything on a greyhound bus, including the bus.
Okay. Then no, I would not the dog either.
Okay, just checking. And they're doing adoption discounts until the end of the year as the, you know, the, I don't know, the greyhound path year clearance. I don't know, it's a bit weird, really.
That sounded wrong. But
sounds a bit wrong when you say it like that. But they've got too many dogs waiting for a home, so they do need to clear them out and take them to your house. So volunteer shifts usually about 3 hours. They're flexible, according to Miss Bradshaw, who is down there and looking for help. So if you want to get involved, go to volunteer at greyhoundrescue.com.au. Lauren will help you out, and they need the help they can get. So rescue those greyhounds.
Excellent. Now, Macquarie Fields has its own resident that has reached 100 years old. Now, we talk about these every couple of months. There's always...
It seems to be getting too many of these 100-year-old people.
The 100 years...
People live forever these days.
Well, the thing is, this lady, her name is Sylvia, she lived in Macquarie Fields for 95 of those 100 years. Wow. That's...
Well, how long do you live there, Steve, out of your percentage of your life? She's 95%. How many percent are you?
Actually, I was talking about this the other day, actually, with someone. What was it? It was 14 years I've been in Campbelltown.
And where were you before that?
I was in Miller.
So, and how long have you been in Southwest Sydney then?
Oh, geez. Well, total, right? Probably 27 years then.
And how old are you?
27.
So 100% of your life. Yeah. Nearly 95% of her life.
Well, there you go. I beat her out. 100%.
So you get your 100. No, you don't get your
100. I don't get anything.
Too soon.
she recalls...
She must see a few changes, right?
She's seen quite a bit. She's been there since 1923 when she first left Goldburn. Wow, where her father was. So there's been quite a lot of changes, obviously. There used to be more farms and more animals. Now it's all city life, sort of. And she doesn't. They don't actually mention what she remembers because I don't think she remembers much. Sorry to say, I don't think she remembers much from 1920.
I don't remember. I still don't remember if I brushed my teeth in the morning. So
I'm like, did I brush my teeth today?
I brushed my teeth twice the other day, and I realised it afterwards.
No, I did. I do that sometimes. I'm like, did I do that today?
Just do it by default.
I'll do it again anyway.
Do it again. So much fun the first time. But she's in good stead. American Mr. Owens, Dean Owens, he used to live in Atlanta, Georgia. He's actually, according to the local paper, come out and moved to Wallandilly. And he quotes this as, it's one of the most beautiful and amazing places. It's a credible place. It's touched his heart. Mm-hmm. And he thinks it's one of the best places in the world.
Oh, wow. That's nice of him.
He could have said it was the best place in the world, but he's not quite there yet. Just one of the best places in the world. No one said how many best places he had on his list.
Well, I wonder what else he had on there.
Don't know, he didn't disclose it, but he does reckon that he does love the natural landscape. He's moved here to be close to his goddaughters. Yep. He wants to visit Warragamba Dam. He hasn't got there yet. I hope he does. But yet he goes around photographing the wildlife and nature.
Sounds good.
So he's very excited to be here.
Good job, Mr. Owens. Hope you enjoy it.
And I'm sure he misses Donald Trump, but I'm sure he...
maybe.
Do you think he does?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe.
Some people do like him.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually do. Actually, at times I have moments where I thought
He's all right. He hasn't done anything that bad, to be honest.
Hasn't been that good either, right?
Well, yeah, you're not wrong there.
Bad, good. Didn't kill anyone, I guess. Not yet.
No, he hasn't done like any... See, that's the thing. People hate him, but he still hasn't done like anything like bad.
It's an irrational hate, though, too, right?
Yeah, it's personal hate. That's all it is.
Yeah,
that's it.
Oh, no.
You got more?
There's more. Come on, Steve, come on. Glenn, it's been a big week.
Has it?
Big week also, too, in Camden. There's Rainbow Chapel being built for same-sex marriages.
Right.
There's one held at a restaurant on Australia Day. The owner was that proud he decided to paint his restaurant rainbow.
Okay.
Good on him. Why not?
Good for you.
Yeah, good luck. And they're going to expand that restaurant as well. So there's obviously some of those weddings happening around town.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to any yet, Steve?
No, I have not.
Neither have I.
Still waiting for my invite.
No one's invited you?
No.
No? It's a bit rude.
Even though I voted yes. Like, what the hell?
I thought if you didn't respond, you voted yes, right? Isn't that how it works? No, it didn't work that way. The Greens, too, have got a bit of a revolution happening locally, too. Ben Moroney, the local councillor, has complained about the leader's comments to push for Australia Day to be changed. Basically, apparently they said there was going to be resources for councils. He's not being given no support.
Mm-hmm.
He's got no rights to tell people what to think down the chain. MacArthur Green's not for it. On a personal level, we believe the date should be changed, but any decision will require a conversation with the community. So he reckons that the community in Campbelltown is not quite there yet.
Well, he's kind of right. You can't tell people.
Well, he's, I think, basically spot on the money.
You can't tell people what they think and they shouldn't think.
But he's the local community in Campbelltown. I think most of the country don't really care enough to change it.
No.
Just don't think it's really,
there's bigger things to worry
about. I woke up this morning and went, did it really matter?
No. Nothing. No one died, did they? Well...
250 years ago.
No, I meant like today, like no one died. No one today. Still being Australia Day type of thing.
Yes, no, good point, yes.
Exactly. Obviously they did. But
except for Maroubra, but that was another story.
Well, that
what was going on there? Bloody hell.
Well, the guy was... I don't know.
Don't know. It hasn't been revealed yet.
Well,
disturbing.
Yeah, I think that was a mix of things there.
Would ruin someone's day. But I think that's all for On the Wild West Worlds.
All right. A lot going on. It's a very Wild West, isn't it?
Very Wild West edition this way. We have a new segment, Steve.
Yes.
Well, Mick is still ill.
Mick is
ill. Peter's lazy.
We've got to find... So we need stuff to fill time.
You've just lassoed a lady outside.
Well, we had to actually... Apparently now there's quotas. Now we actually have to have at least a female voice each show.
Yeah.
All right. There's a quota.
That is not. We just made that up.
All right. Okay.
We think that, well,
We need some...
2018 is the Me Too revolution.
You make me feel better by being part of the quota.
No, you actually made
it. We need some diversity.
Genuine talent, though.
Oh, my genuine talent. Well, I'm here as your research officer.
Yes.
And I have done some research.
You've done well.
And I want to know if you know the meaning of these words.
We'll try.
Because they have just hit the Macquarie Dictionary announces the People's Word of the Year for 2017. So if you don't know, then they've made a mistake.
Considering Steve did not know that the guy with one leg has one leg.
And he named the show The Last Leg.
The Last Leg. I didn't get that tip. We could be struggling here, Carol.
I think we're peddling backwards.
We could become underwater.
The word, the People's Choice word is Framily. So what is a Framily?
Sounds like a terrible gender inclusive.
It sounds like a mixture.
I thought it sounded like an after.
Is it a frail family?
No, I thought it sounded like an after dinner pudding or something. Let's get the family out.
Well, the thing is,
let's get the family together.
Get it out of the fridge.
Get it out of the fridge. No, but see, once you've heard frenemy, you kind of know what frenemy.
But I've never heard frenemy.
Really?
No.
You've never heard of frenemy? You don't have any frenemies?
No, I just have enemies and friends.
You're black and
white.
Well,
put them together, Carol, and you'll be all right.
Okay.
We are
frenemy. So a frenemy
is... What
is
a frenemy?
Well, it's when you have lots of people who are a group of people who are not related by blood, but you are an intimate network.
Yeah.
So I suppose we're a family, are we not?
We're families, sure.
Yeah, we're
a family. Are you really in my family?
I don't know. Do you have to...
You could be Carol's first frenemy.
Family or frenemy. We could have a contest.
Yeah.
Are you family or frenemy?
Well, you know...
That's a very good friend.
I suppose it's the people that you mix with a lot and regularly, and you may even eat with, and you have an argument with, like, your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that they might come and help you if you do something stupid. They might bail you out.
That's stretching it a bit.
Which family
would you bail us out of prison?
Oh, depend what you got in for.
That's so my answer as well.
Depends. So we're not really friend. We're family, but well, just to a point.
Yeah, but you see,
even with family.
But we would abandon our family
if
they did certain things, wouldn't we? We would abandon our family if they did certain things. That is beyond the pale. We'd say to them, "Sorry, we're not going to rescue you."
Yeah.
So it's very much like the same as a family, but you haven't got the same blood.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's the word. Another word is an endling. What do you think an endling is?
It's got to do with ending something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A species.
Oh, that's awful.
Endling. That sounds depressing.
That didn't make the people's choice?
If you don't be my friend, I'll turn you into an endling.
I'll endling you.
Yeah, I'll endling you. Yeah, okay. Well, the next one is...
Family.
The next one is fairly... This one is... I don't think this is... You don't need to be very clever to know what this is. Text neck.
Yeah, when you're texting and you're looking down. And,
yeah, for a long period of time. But that's not a word, is it? It's two words, text neck. They haven't stuck it together. They've put a space in between.
They
haven't
spaced that to make it a word.
No.
A little dash, maybe.
Yeah.
That's confusing, then.
Yeah. I've got a problem with that.
It's a saying, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the committee chose something called milkshake duck.
That's a duck going to breakfast, isn't it?
Ducks.
Is that a duck?
No, someone's throwing a milkshake.
Duck!
Get down!
What are we getting down for?
We're having a milkshake fight.
Oh, milkshake.
Duck!
Oh,
of course.
Hey, you're slow today. No.
When I first heard this word, I'm like, I have never heard of this word.
Does it involve snowflakes?
No. I think a snowflake invented it.
It's got to do with people, right, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a person who is initially viewed positively by the media. In other words, you know,
Donald Trump.
Really, really good. Yeah, but
union boss.
Then discovered that they have something questionable about them, which causes a sharp decline in their popularity.
Oh.
Mm. I wouldn't need people in that category, would there?
That's like a lot of them.
Yeah, right? Because you think about sort of...
Weinstein,
yeah, exactly, that crew now.
It's worse than a milkshake duck.
He's a duck years ago.
He's a milkshake turkey. A right milkshake turkey.
Much worse.
Yeah, because he was all right.
The Milk Duck Awards, couldn't we? The Milkshake Duck Awards.
Yeah. Trump
had his fake news awards.
We can have the Milkshake Duck Awards.
Yeah.
We'll get the duck. What's that duck that you get out of the toilet? No?
Oh, the toilet duck.
Oh,
toilet duck.
Yeah. You can award them a duck milkshake for the duck stuff out of the toilet.
You've got like that little gun thing that shoots out pellets, you know.
Oh,
so
yes, one of the
light up and we'll give you your milkshake duck.
We've got a new segment here, domestic bliss. We can do the
domestic bliss.
Oh,
we've done dishwashing liquid, now we're doing toilet cleaning. Oh.
Yes, I think it's the lowest common denominator. But what about a subtweet? What's a subtweet?
It's got to do with Twitter, right? It has to.
It's a half-assed tweet.
It is a tweet posted about a particular person without tagging the target's username, thus excluding them.
Subtle slam, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, do you ever do a subtweet?
No, if I'm going to write to someone, I'll make sure I put them in there.
Yeah, me too.
So, are you a tweet cutter?
Well, I have been known.
Oh, you're a troll on the internet, aren't you? Everyone has internet trolls.
No, I just wait.
Snowflake, not.
I just wait and wait and wait and wait and wait.
Actually, I haven't tweeted all year.
Oh.
I don't think I've tweeted actually at all.
Are you suffering from...
Tweet deprivation.
I was going to say loss of tweets.
Post-traumatic tweet disorder.
Oh, yes.
Well, I had to do a post one first.
You got to do your first one.
Yes. Well, this one, I love a poke. And I didn't really know what a poke was. Okay. It's spelled P-O-K-E.
Okay.
But then I looked
like
at...
poke?
No, I looked at a woman's...
Is that okay to poke? No, that's out of
no,
the
I looked at a woman's magazine the other day, as I do occasionally.
Yeah.
And they'd got poke bowls, poke bowls. And so what do you think is in the poke?
What's come to this world?
Oh, yeah?
What's a poke?
Well,
poke,
it's a in a
fancy poke.
No, it's Hawaiian cookery. And it's a salad. And it's composed of raw fish seasoned with a Japanese-style sauce of soy, green onions and sesame.
Wow.
Usually served with a variety of vegetables, pickles, etc., on a bed of rice. Oh, I think I could, you know, be on the telly advertising these bowls.
Need to go with the fish, though.
Do you think if we wanted to be entrepreneurs, we could buy some bowls and sell poke bowls? Just put a lot of fish.
There's a big market for poker balls.
Well, they put it in the women's magazine to tell you how to make them. Yeah. So they must be on the rise.
I've never seen any, but yeah, sure. It was a bentay box. Right?
Poke means, and this is really educating you, it means it's Hawaiian to slice off or cut up.
Okay.
So we'll just poke your heads off and move on.
So it's like sliced food in a bowl.
Yeah.
Kind of like a tray that you have like dips and stuff, right?
Yeah.
It's
a mixture of things. And then,
But I love this one. Dopamine dressing. It's not to do with food.
Well, we know what dopamine is.
Yeah.
Not dopamine salad. Good for everyone.
Well, look at me. And I am doing a little bit of, waist upwards, dopamine dressing.
Oh.
Wearing bright colours in an extroverted style in order to lift one's spirits. This is very bright yellow, is it not? Are my spirits not lifted?
They are very lifted.
Yeah. So you are not dopamine dressed. You are absolutely funereal.
Funeral black t-shirt. I'm kind of calm.
Glenn's half. He's calm.
Yeah, he's halfway there, but he might tomorrow need a bit of dopamine dressing. So there you go.
Dopamine dressing?
Yeah.
So you just wear bright colours?
Yeah.
It's a lift dopamine dressing.
Lift your spirits.
A dopamine dressing season.
I think we have educated ourselves enough. There's lots of others, but
is the dictionary just running out of new words to make?
I think they're just making them up on the spot.
Because dopamine dressing, I think, is the worst of those so far.
Yeah.
I thought the Pokemon was pretty terrible.
No, dopamine dressing.
Yeah.
That makes you sound like a drug dealer.
It sounds like you're putting drugs in your salad.
Family.
Family, okay, we can cope with.
Family. Fine.
But Endling, okay, it's simplistic.
Endling sounds.
Yeah. Oh,
dark state. Why do you like dark state?
Do you?
I like my steak.
What's the dark state?
The people within the state bureaucracy, intelligence agencies, and security force who align themselves to form a secret force.
Dark state.
That aims to control and subvert democratic processes and institutions.
Isn't that whenever you want to form from the tax office?
Isn't that just called the Cold War? I don't know. Or the next century?
That's called the ATO, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever. Bureaucracy? What's that? Do we have that in Australia? No, never.
Or bike.
Oh, I know what the dark
state. Is not new.
I know what the dark state's referring to. All those people that don't know whether they're citizens of a country or not.
Yeah, that could which be dark
state. Oh, yes, dark state. They're very dark
which state. State do you belong to? Not quite sure. I'm in the dark, as far as my state. Well, there you go. So what do you reckon? Do you think we should keep adding so many?
I think they should close the dictionary off.
I think it's many. Frivolous. Become frivolous.
Is there any word of the last decade that you actually think was good, apart from maybe email and website? Because they're quite handy.
Can't recall.
So they become
many.
Well, they become universal and common usage now, so we don't even think of them as being new.
Normally part of your vocabulary.
I mean, every country has a word which is computer. It depends whether you're Russian, you say computer, or your French computer.
Or compute.
But it's the same word.
The same thing.
I mean, yeah. I think we should have an international language.
Yeah.
We'll all understand what Framley is. Now you have to come to our Macquarie Dictionary and pick up the words we use, and then we'll have no problem communicating, will we?
Simple. We've sorted out what the dictionary needs.
Yeah. Any word you'd like to put in?
Oh. Off the top of my head.
Oh, that's so many.
None appropriate.
There's so many.
I wonder if there's a swearers book of a swearers dictionary.
Well, just remember some of the previous ones. Muffin Top from 2016.
Oh, yeah.
2006, Muffin Top.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Pod Slurping was 2007.
Don't know. Pod Slurping, don't know that one.
Is
that binge?
Well, actually, it's very funny. It's downloading large quantities of data to an MP3 player, whatever that was, and a memory stick from a computer.
Hey, that's new.
Good old Pod Slurping. Toxic Debt.
Oh, that
shovel ready. That was an annoying word.
That sounds terrible.
Shovel ready. I'm doing my gardening. That's the only context. Ready? Oh yes, I'm
the infrastructure project going down to the nursery to buy a plant ready.
Shovel I'm
ready.
Leaning on my spade, mate, and I'll be here for half an hour till I finish my coffee.
Goggle ganger. You're a goggle ganger, aren't you? Goggle ganger. Haven't you done a goggle ganger before? You've not goggle ganged.
What's goggle ganger?
Yeah, I'm you when you search your name on Google.
Oh no, I haven't. Goggle ganger right now.
Go on.
A bikini.
Indulge yourself.
Okay. Phantom vibration syndrome.
Is that sitting on your washing machine?
No, it's anxiety in relation to one's mobile phone, an obsessional conviction that the phone has vibrated in response to an incoming call, when in fact it hasn't. Don't you often have that word come up in your day-to-day conversation?
But I often have the experience, but not the word.
I think some of these words are 50-50.
Most of them are a load of crap, but...
Yeah, Captain's Call was 2015. That was Tony Abbott's
own contribution. Oh, yeah, yeah. Everything was a Captain's Call, wasn't it?
Oh, wow.
You know, it was just an excuse for the top dogs to make all the decisions and say, you underlings can't make a decision. I'm the top dog, and we're going to have a Captain's Call.
Yeah.
Oh, I quite like that. Let's have a captain's call.
That one's actually stuck around.
That's a good one.
Shovel ready's kind of gone.
When you describe it like that, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Toxic debt, that's a bit out of fashion now. Stupid, still around.
Muffin talk sounds stupid as well.
That's gone a bit.
Oh, but it's really descriptive. That is so descriptive.
That's a good new word, because you know what it means.
Yeah, when people had...
When you see a muffin top, see a muffin top.
They had low slung jeans and a load of, superfluous flesh above it. There was no other way you could describe
it. Exactly how it was described in the dictionary.
Hey, I must have invented the word or
superfluous flesh. Superfluous nominee for 2018.
Superfluous flesh. There you go. I'll vote for it.
Hey, we should be making up our own words now.
Dictionary of stupidity coming soon.
Let's see if we can come up with something and use it and just see if it
catches on.
Yeah. I think I know for a fact that when we wrote, I shouldn't say this, but, you know, don't listen, kids.
No, I'm really, this is a podcast.
When we used to write HSC papers, we used to have a key word, you know, to just throw into the paper every so often to see if the editor turned it, got rid of it, noted it. Very rarely they never noted the word. Really? You say, what word are we going to put in all over the place to see if the editor's doing their job? And very rarely. So we could do that. We could come up with a word by next week and we could start using it and see whether anybody questions it.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that isn't really easy to understand, and then what we do is we just use it and see if anyone says, can you just tell me what that means, please? Because I bet you they don't. They pretend to know what it means.
Stupid, Carol.
Yeah.
Come on.
They're like, oh, okay, that, yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Haven't heard of it before, but it makes sense.
Well, if it's in a context, you can usually guess what it is, but we'd have to throw it in wild and woolly, wouldn't we? that's interesting. I think I'll think about when I'm driving my car, I'll be thinking.
You've been having your segment, right?
That can be a new weekly
occasional segment, right?
Yeah. The word of the day is, let's see if we can spread it out there. You'd soon know how many listeners you'd got if you heard the word coming back to you.
Mm. Wouldn't that be scary? You more than one.
Just more than your dad.
Yes, exactly.
Welcome back to the program. It is time for television news, Glenn. A lot has been happening. TV's in full swing.
It is. Let's go back in time to the time of October 2017.
Yeah.
A sunnier and happier place. And this was on the project that night on October the 27th.
Yeah. Now I have to ask this one straight up. Are you two still together?
Whoa. Oh, it's been a while.
Of course we are. Okay.
Very happy. I've seen all the articles. I'm pregnant, apparently. Sorry, that raised a doubt in my mind, obviously.
Yeah. We'll come to that, because, you know, Jared's already told us earlier that he's here if you need.
Well, funny story, actually. It is now January 27th. So, start a family.
I don't think she did, but okay.
Anyway, gave my best shot I could, and my intentions were everything I said and I was looking for, but unfortunately this one just didn't work out. As much as I do respect him, we are very different people. There was no attraction to stay together whatsoever from anyone, and we remain friends and remain stronger, bloody, bloody, bloody.
Blah, blah, blah. She's not together. They did it for TV, and that was it.
No, true love. She wanted to settle down, and, like, if you want to settle down, Steve, all you do is go to...
Honestly.
Oh, come on.
They were never really together.
They loved each other.
Yeah, it was love at first sight and all that bullcrap. Just saying.
I sense a little bit of cynicism there, Steve.
Prove me wrong, Glenn. You tell me they didn't just do it for television.
I don't think it was true love, no.
No, of course it wasn't. But, you know, we see this all the time with these things. The same thing happened with Sam Frost, right, on her show.
They should have a countdown clock, really. How long can it last? Like, there must be a record, right? I don't think anyone's made the first year mark, have they?
Probably not.
I don't think so. Like, no one has gone back on that. We know that show they used to have on Channel 7, like, Where Are They Now?
Yeah.
No one's ever gone on Where Are They Now and went, we were on TV, we met True Love, and we are still together. Like, it's never, like, you know,
well, like
even when they're not on a TV show, it hardly
happens. Like the Channel 9 one this time next year, we'll see.
That's right. Yeah. Next time next year. Well, next time next month, possibly.
Next week, I think.
Married at first sight. Yeah, as soon as we get out of the building, we're gone.
What a load of crap, honestly.
Thankfully, Mad as Hell is back, Steve, is all I've got to say. Mad as Hell is back on Wednesday. And yeah, it's a big week of TV next week. The Good Doctor's back on Monday. Very excited about
this. Very popular show. Like, even though we joke about it, it's very popular here.
I don't know why. I saw some of the ads during the tennis.
And it looks cringe.
And they've taken away after the tennis. Now they actually give it the date.
Oh, really? They say January 28 or whatever it is.
Whatever the date is. That's,
yeah.
Congratulations, they figured it out. Because no one knows when the tennis ends.
They know.
The tennis should never end.
No, tennis is good, I've got to admit.
But that is coming back. But he is the most awkwardest doctor of all time.
Yeah.
I would never let him, like, do surgery on me.
I would not trust him with surgery.
Even though he's got this magic thing that all of a sudden he can see stuff.
Because he's got autism or something, isn't he?
It's like Doogie Howser gone wrong. Do you remember Doogie Howser?
I don't remember.
Best show of all time.
Wasn't he a dog, though? He turns into a dog or something.
I didn't watch the end of it. Like, I was joking. It was, like, a good show, but... Like, it was like he was a good doctor. Oh, sorry.
I don't know if he was, Glenn.
But I think, no, he wasn't, though, because later on, I think he actually ended up getting in charge with some offences of some description or something.
Oh, actor?
The actor did or something.
No.
Google it, I'm sure.
No, the actor's...
Something good.
Patrick Harris, wasn't it?
Yeah, but didn't he become... Something happened to him that was revolutionary. Like, all of a sudden, like, they had to remember who Doogie Howser was.
Because he came out as gay.
Posse was that.
Is that revolutionary?
Well, it was, because no one expected him to come out.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Because he plays like a straight male on...
Yeah, like it was like, oh, he's... Doogie Howser was gay. That was a bit of a plot twist. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because in his show he played, like an alpha.
Sorry, I was being a bit Me Too there for a moment. I just thought, you know, everyone's doing it these days.
Very revolutionary.
Well, talking about queer, this show's coming back.
Guys, you ready? The original show was fighting for tolerance. Our fight is for acceptance.
Let's do this. I'm excited. Like, I don't know what to expect. I'd like to have her help me get out of my comfort zone.
I think my dad is lonely.
I want her to be excited about the new name.
Okay, so dad's lonely, so she sets a Fab Five across.
No, I think it's so you can meet someone, obviously.
They got to get those guys to help him meet someone?
Yeah. I don't know how it works out, but...
Just converting the factory worker from the Midwest into...
It's kind of like that.
Trying to convert the Trump voters into someone...
To a non-Trump voter.
Good luck. But Queer Eye for the Straight Guy's back. Are you excited to
stay? Yeah, Wednesday, February 7th. No, I'm not really... I wouldn't say I'm a fan of the show, but to be honest, I have seen an episode or two, and I don't think it's that bad.
I do. I'm not sure about the press release, though. They're trying... They've got audience around the world to a modern... authentic, diverse perspective. They seem like the least diverse cast of all time.
Well, the thing is, I've gone... Yeah, actually...
Like, if they go tolerance and all this stuff, it's like, no, you're actually probably the least diverse cast of all time.
Just so that's the people. One African-American guy.
No, but, like, it's just all queer people. Where's the straight guy?
Well, it's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Talk about discrimination.
Can't you
be a straight guy with... style and class.
I know what they're going for.
We've got one: food and wine, interior design, culture, grooming, and fashion.
Aren't they almost all the same stuff?
Culture.
Usually,
I'm sure they're going to take them to very cultural events.
I won't be watching it. Just saying.
No, I don't think so either.
No, I won't be on my Netflix queue.
But there's lots of stuff on Netflix at the moment. They're on a bit of a binge of releasing stuff. Black Lightning's another one, a superhero movie that started.
I'm not big. I haven't watched Netflix in a long time, Glenn, to be honest.
How can you not?
I don't know. Like, I binge watched a series recently, which was really good.
Yeah.
Black Mirror, I watched the new one. Fresh Meat is really good. I highly suggest watching. But other than that, I haven't really been... keeping up with programming.
Because there's too many of them, actually. I do find that's actually quite difficult. I just leave, like, flooding the thing with lots of stuff.
Well, Glenn, the saying goes, you add more into your queue than you actually watch. So it's
like... I did watch this other one the other day. I did mention the one that was this guy that was, it's a travel show where...
Anthony Bourdain?
No, it was this comedian guy from the UK. Basically, I watched it, I think, before I went on holidays, but it was basically this... British agent guy and his son, who's a comedian that's in his 30s, takes his dad on a backpacking trip to Asia, but he's kind of the old classic British guy.
Okay.
You know, like the old, five-star hotel type of person, and then he has his rich private school boy type of jokes.
And how was it?
It was a bit annoying because most people aren't private school people. So the jokes kind of went over people's head where he was kind of going, oh, you sent me to boarding school. That was horrendous.
Yeah.
Whatever. Don't care. But it was interesting because his dad wasn't really kind of the backpacker type going to hostels in the middle of Thailand.
Oh, right.
But he kind of... It was a bit weird. Okay. It's funny, but it was weird.
No, I haven't...
It's kind of entertaining in times. It was kind of, like, funny.
Okay.
But it's worth watching.
I'll check. If you can tell me what it's called, I'll check
it out. I think it was, like, Traveling With Your Dad or something.
Traveling With Your Dad, I don't think that's it. I'll look on my Netflix.
Look at your Netflix. But no, it actually was. It was Traveling With My Dad or something. My Dad's First... I don't know. Something.
My Dad's First Trip or something.
Something like that. But it's something with Dad and travel and whatever. Oh, okay. Not to be confused with Travel Guide starting on Monday. That's back as well.
Yeah.
That's back. The celebrity thingamajigo in the jungle. Celebrity Jungle Show. Celebrity
Get Me Out of Here, yep. Dave Hughes' the show start as well. That's going to start.
Married at First Sight.
Check out.
Back with New Look.
Yeah, New Look, New Logo.
Same Any color. Of those shows sound appealing to you so far?
Yeah, I like the Check Out.
Yeah? I find it a bit annoying, though.
I like learning about consumer law and all that stuff.
So. But surely people must know that by now.
They don't. People are stupid.
Do you know what was actually disturbed the other day? You know that thing where you pay for stuff after you buy stuff?
Yeah.
There's kind of a few of them now where, like, you go and, like, you know, you can't afford a T-shirt today, so now you buy it in five easy payments of $5.
Oh, that stuff's a load.
A $10 T-shirt's so expensive.
Yeah, $2 a week.
It's getting ridiculous now. You go to some websites now, it's like, you know, it's a $20 T-shirt, and it's like, you can pay it in four monthly payments of $5. It's like, that should be banned. That's ridiculous.
That's a scam.
Because the thing is, you miss your fifth payment on your $5 T-shirt.
You're screwed.
It's screwed. It's like 25% or some ridiculous amount. And
Just save the $10 and pay for
just
it.
Just don't buy it. You can't afford it.
No.
Simple as that. But
that's how they get them. They think it's the easy way out.
But there's a huge bunch of Australians actually doing it that way.
Yeah, of course there are.
I was disturbed.
But they're suckers.
Morons.
Yeah. That's sad. But, you know. Oh, well, moving on. Now we had the new Today Show with Georgie and Cole. They started this week.
I was excited.
Yes, people said she did well. Of course, they're going to say she did well, so which makes sense.
How could she go wrong?
It's Georgie and Cole. Like,
there's no cash cow to fraud her.
No, to upstage her. As far as ratings go, obviously it isn't doing that well compared to Sunrise. Sunrise is still the number one morning show, as usual.
They need to revamp the cash box. I think they got it all wrong.
Yeah?
Forget about Carl and Lisa. That cash box thing they've got there on Today Show.
Yeah.
The cash cow trumps it by 1,000,001.
Oh, of course. Cash cow's fun.
Maybe the cash rooster.
Cash rooster or the
cash budget.
I was going to make a bad joke then, but never mind.
Cash. Oh, yes. Okay.
The cash, you know.
Wow.
Other name for a rooster.
Carl would do that really well, though. Carl would do that incredibly well. I can imagine him doing that.
Yeah, they should do that. Honestly, they should do that.
April the 1st, bring out the cash.
Mm. The cash, yeah.
Fill in the blank.
Speaking of.
But there was, I think, even more controversy. Apparently, there was a hair debate on there as well.
Hair debate?
Yeah, apparently, Carl and Richard, not to be confused with the cash, you know.
Cash Richard.
Actually, he could be the cash.
He could.
And then he's got the right name.
He takes off the head, the mask thing. And
it's that'd be funny. So apparently there's a huge hair debate on the Today Show.
Yeah, I hear.
Did you? No, you didn't hear. Come on, Steve. Really honestly, you said hair debate?
Hair debate.
Apparently Richard Wilkins and the other guy.
Carl
had bad hair that day.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was on the third day of the week, so it was on Wednesday, maybe.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday.
There was a whole story about this in news.com.au. They actually discussed there's a whole... Wow. I don't know if I looked at it, and they're like comparing Donald Trump, like Trump's hair, not Trump's hair.
Trump's hair's fake, we know that, yes.
Really?
No, it's not.
No, I thought it was real. But apparently, yeah, it was a big deal. And Richard and Carl had bad hair.
Well, the thing is, they make fun of Richard's hair every... you hear it all the time. He's got fake hair.
Richard would be a good contender for our new... addition to the program.
Yeah.
Because he would be the best cash.
Cash Richard.
Cash Richard ever. Cash Richard.
I love
cash
it.
Cash Richard.
Yeah, Cash Richard. It sounds like a gangster name, doesn't it?
We're bigger gangsters games today. I don't know why.
Cash Richard.
Very gangster today.
yeah. Fake hair, whatever. Speaking of not fake, though, I was surprised when I found this. The Simpsons, right? Known to be on Network 10 for the last 20 years. Or
27
years to be exact. They've got a new home, Glenn. Network 7.
It's weird.
After the tennis, you get the Simpsons.
That is weird. MASH as well? MASH and the Simpsons?
Yeah, MASH.
It's like Channel 10's just moved to Channel 7.
Well, and Modern Family maybe as well, but yeah, it's going to be weird.
I don't think they're going to put on their main channel. I imagine being on a multi-channel, right? It'll be 7
No, I think because that's for Home and Away and things.
Yeah, you want the good stuff on there, right?
Simpsons are good.
By the way, I looked at the promo for Home and Away.
Yeah.
Looks like the guy, what's that guy? Alf?
I thought he was dying too.
I know, I thought like, are they burying him? Like on TV? Is this like Buryable Monday?
Yeah, or something, but he's not. It's just, What is it? Is his anime?
Apparently there was a big... I told my mum, she watches every week. So it's really handy. So I said to her, you know, what's going on with, with Alf? I'm really concerned. Like, this is 30 years of us and they just kill the guy off. Like, you know, redundancy.
Yeah, he's dead.
He's been waiting for that redundancy.
They made
years.
Him redundant.
They're waiting for that for years, right? He's holding on for dear life that they make him redundant. But how can you make him redundant? He's such a character.
Like flaming mongrel and all that stuff, he says.
The flaming mongrel, apparently, apparently there's an explosion. They reckon he'll survive, and apparently that's the big cliffhanger. There's this big explosion. Alf was underneath in this thing, something or other, and that's what's going to happen on Monday, apparently.
Okay.
I'm on the seat of my pants. I hope Al's okay.
I hope he's okay, because I was worried. I did watch it. I'm like, is he dying or something? Because they made it like he's dying.
The best promo of the year, because I really actually got a bit worried. I was like, shit.
I don't watch the show. Haven't seen an episode in years, but...
Well, no, Alf's in it.
I'm like, Alf's dying? Oh, my God. Yeah, it's like Harold at Neighbours, right? He's gone, but...
He came back, didn't he? Had some random comeback.
Oh, I don't know.
You never die on those shows. You're always around.
That's the number one rule in soap operas. You're immortal.
You have to be immortal to survive in this world.
They've been on for like a long time. Someone's immortal then.
The other rumour I heard as well too, apparently is a rumour, it's a bit of a rumour more than fact at the moment. It was in the paper. They're talking about, like, you know how like all the shows are going just from 10 to 7?
Yeah.
Apparently tennis might be moving to Channel 10.
Really?
Apparently the tennis chairperson the other day, because the deal expires next year. And then they were talking to Channel 10. They're like shopping around the tennis. And for Channel 10, if they've got the money,
they've got the money now because of CBS.
But also, it's a bold move, right? Because that's a big thing for Seven, right? They've had the tennis be as long as tennis existed, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not that far. For a long time.
No.
But it would be a big change if it moved. And it's a big part of how they get their programs out. Like, Good Doctor and all that stuff they've been plugging the hell out of.
Yeah.
I would never have known if Alf was going to die if there wasn't any tennis on Seven. I'd probably know that, you know, flaming... What's the other guy? Harold would be...
Harold? Yeah, that's... Or do you think that could have been, like, a secret trade thing? Simpsons type of shows for the tennis?
Nah.
Terrible trade, obviously. That would have been terrible.
I'd rather tennis. No, I just think CBS is going to come in with a bit more money, and the cricket's going to be the biggest test this year.
And they want to go into sports because of their streaming service and things.
Well, yeah, and sports rates on TV still. The ratings are down for some of them, but they still rate through the roof.
They pull in big numbers.
Advertisers pay a premium for them. I think that is quite true.
Because they're an essential on television, right? People love their sports, so it makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm too lazy to change the channel while I'm watching
it. Oh, do you? Is that why you watch it?
And I can't watch it later, right? It's going to be live.
You can watch it later.
I can't.
Can you get the results?
Because you can fast forward it, and like you just then watch it in 2 minutes.
Fast forward it, Glenn, you get the results.
You don't even watch it?
I don't watch. Oh, God, you're joking. No, I don't watch. What was the last time I watched the full game? Probably one I attended, I think.
Also changing channels too, Trotfest too.
Yeah, it's going to the ABC. However,
it's never been on the ABC, has it?
But the thing is, it's not on the ABC like main channel, I thought I read.
It's comedy, ABC comedy.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
But it's always comedy on Trotfest.
Yeah, but... It makes no sense. This is like, it should be on the main channel.
I think Trotfest's been shafted a bit here, actually, because it used to be on the main channels all the time.
On SBS, it was on the main channel. It was on Foxtel as well, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah, I actually think they've been shafted around a bit. I think it's like a second-tier event, but I actually think it's one of the best.
No, it should be taken as a main event.
Yeah. And like the ARIA Awards is similar like that, too. The ARIA Awards get shunted around. And
yeah, because it... But...
To be fair, we haven't had a great Australian artist for how long?
Hugh Jackman, what are you talking about? Oh, you mean ARIA? Oh, ARIA. No, not since Flume probably, like, scrapped the awards, like, every award.
Yeah, since Flume just took over.
And they changed it to the Flume Awards.
The Flume Awards, yes. The old this thing with the ARIA is, like, unless he's a good artist of the year, he just takes all the awards, or he or she takes all the awards.
Yeah, it wasn't that notable this year, actually, last year, to be honest.
No.
But, yeah, I feel like Trotfest has been screwed here. It's going to be on February 17, and... Yeah, even when it was on Network 10, it was on 11, and it should be on their main channel, I think. Surely they can do something where they can play it on the main channel, or simulcast it across a bunch of channels.
Yeah.
Why not? What are people going to do for those 2 hours? Watch Australian movies, it's good. I've been to Trotfest, it's great.
Sounds like you're a passionate movie person, Steve.
I am, but I can't recall the last time I watched Trotfest.
I watched it last year. I watched it about 6 months later.
I think I talked
it's
about
it. It's a long broadcast.
It's a long broadcast. When you go there, it's much better. But this year's signature item, Rose. So I wonder how they're going to put that into the film. Yeah.
Who is Rose?
No, like a Rose.
Oh, sorry, Rose. Oh, right, okay. Rose.
Well, some people might get Rose McGowan in it. That counts.
Counts, yeah.
Anything to do with Rose.
Now, also interesting enough, talking about Screwed, Viceland.
Yeah, it's gone from...
No, they had sexual harassment problems from the Me Too movement, but this is a bit more of a problem.
And their boss is leaving and stuff.
Boss is leaving, all this stuff. But this is a bigger problem. Is Viceland Canada?
Yeah, it's gone.
Are you sad?
Not really. I don't really. I like Vice Media. I watch their you know.
It's only the Canada version at the moment, but it's apparently low viewership, unprofitable. It's been like that in the UK as well.
Yeah.
The American channel hasn't, like, it had a big, huge launch.
And I imagine in Australia it's not doing that well either.
So. Well, it's only on SBS. It rates reasonably okay, but it's SBS though, so.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. Vice is struggling to get that channel off the ground. And I do think part of the problem is that they're a cable channel.
They're a niche market, that's the thing.
But I think the their audience has probably not got cable TV subscriptions that has Vice then included.
No, they got streaming services. That's why Vice should be a streaming service.
I think they picked the wrong... And also all the overhead of running a big channel and all that stuff and the programs that go to it.
And it's too, I think it's too global, that's the problem.
Yeah, they've got some good shows.
Oh, they've got some great... They produce some great content, Vice Media. They do really good. But
they had 130 hours of original of programming coming out of Canada.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's like that's and it's out of Canada. Like it's on the ice.
Like how much ice hockey stories can they talk about?
That's all there is, right? Moose isn't ice. Also talking about Vice, then apparently they're streaming a very unbiased documentary on Donald Trump's first year on Vice.
Unbiased?
Absolutely.
I'm going to watch it just to see how unbiased it is.
I'm taking the piss there.
No, I know.
I've got a feeling it's going to be a little bit. That's sometimes a bit fair and balanced, but I do...
I know they are, but...
But I do think they're going to be a little bit anti-Trump.
Anything that has to do with Trump, it's never going to be unbiased.
Yeah.
Just saying. Not even from Trump himself.
We hate him too, but, you know...
I don't hate him, but...
I hate him.
I got no reason to hate him.
You don't?
Why do you hate him?
Oh, he's a horrible person.
Is he? What do you do to you?
He just says dumb, stupid things.
Yeah, but he's just dumb and stupid. Like,
but he's a genius, to be fair.
Hey, he fought a lot of people. He became president.
Talking about fake news, this lady's back.
But first, Murphy Brown in a very special piece. As you know, Murphy has interviewed some of the most powerful people in the world.
Oh, that's very, very true.
But tonight we thought, let's see what's on the mind of an average American. And so we picked one. Just picked one at random, right out of the phone book, because that's how we do things now. And she's here tonight. So watch and listen as Murphy Brown talks with Mrs. Betty Hooley from Greenfield, Idaho. Murphy?
Thank you, Jim, and welcome to FYI, Mrs. Hooley. The challenges facing an American family in the 1990s must be enormous. Tell me, for instance, how do you make ends meet?
Oh, well, it isn't easy. My husband and I both work so we can pay our bills and send our children to good schools.
So you've sacrificed because you put a high priority on education.
Oh, we didn't plan on sending our children to an expensive private school, but we really had no choice.
Had no choice?
I'm sure you do have choices in life.
Funny that the same theme is there that he's on.
Yeah, people are still doing private schools and doing
it. It's still the same thing, right? And it's be interesting if this, you know, revival, 13 episodes on CBS.
Not with Murphy Brown.
It was a very popular. No, Murphy Brown's back.
Oh, really?
They're rebooting it. That's what we're talking about.
With her. No, I know. We're talking about, like, with her, though.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, see?
No. No. The original star, Candace Spruggan, is set to reprise her role as a journalist. Yeah,
oh, okay. Wow. Well, yeah, that's
right. Might be a bit older, a bit more wiser.
Yeah.
But it was a big show in the 90s, though.
Oh, a massive show. People love it.
But I don't think
it.
It's really a big show now.
Probably not, to be honest.
I've got a feeling it will be 13 episodes and that'll be it.
Too many revivals, I've got to say, Glenn. Too many.
Too many. Now, wait, talking about old.
Yeah.
This happened in America this week.
I'm Jane Fonda, who appears to be fixated on an exchange I had with her months ago on this show. You admit you had work done, which I think is to your credit. But you look amazing. Why did you say, I read that you said you felt you're not proud to admit that you've had work done. Why not?
We really want to talk about that?
Well, one of the things people think about when they look at you is how amazing you look.
Well, thanks. Good attitude, good posture, take care of myself. But let me tell you why I'm...
When she first complained publicly after the program and repeatedly, I chose to say nothing, as my general philosophy is what other people think of me is none of my business. However, Fonda was at it again last week, including here on NBC and then again elsewhere, so it's time to address the poor me routine. First, some context. Fonda was on to promote a film about aging. For years, she has spoken openly about her joy in giving a cultural face to older women. Well, the truth is, most older women look nothing like Fonda, who is now 80. And if Fonda really wants to have an honest discussion about older women's cultural face, then her plastic surgery is tough to ignore.
Wow.
She's kind of right.
Yeah, Megan
Kelly. She's 80.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Well, you know.
But she doesn't look like she's 80.
Doesn't she?
Doesn't look like she's 20 either. She's not the average American either. I do think it's a bit of a conflated bit of nonsense. She's like, you know, was a supermodel, wasn't she, back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not the average American like the Murphy Brown segment might have been.
No, I think. But most of these reporters just do things like that to, you know, cause trouble.
Calls about causing trouble and reporters and things like this. SBS has got a new series coming up. Not that it ever causes controversy at all.
No, their show is no one.
It's like Big Brother with a new take and a twist.
There are 1.6 billion Muslims in the world, and as you can see from this group, they're extremely diverse.
I sit there and I hear those people as sort of as competition of who's more Muslim than you.
You really want to be behind that. Not yes. Express yourself and yes. Free. The hijab is the biggest cliche of Islam.
I don't know if any of you have picked up on this yet, but I'm gay. Because it's something discouraged and not welcome.
Islam requires you to critically analyze the teachings and the
sounds very deep and meaningful, Big Brother. Not those old days when, what's that Bunny Ears girl was on there? And what was her name?
Oh, Sarah.
Sarah. There's another Where Are We Now moment.
Where are they now?
Where are those Big Brother contestants?
I don't care.
Chrissy Swan's the only one that made
it. I think, like, Fitzy's the only one that's
Fitzy and Chrissy Swan are the only two. Yes, sir. Maybe there'll be, like, some that come out of this, maybe.
Maybe the one that said he doesn't know if he's gay or something.
It's going to be an interesting conversation on that show. But basically they're going to put 10 Muslim housemates together in a share house, Big Brother style, and then just, you know, and different perspectives. So there's going to be a banker.
A Muslim banker?
They have Muslim bankers.
Of course they do.
Finance, all sorts of things. So apparently Bianca's a feminist boxer. Who her views contradict with her family because of feminism and
boxing
and Islam. Not a good relationship there.
No.
Fahad is a university student, reveals why he's gay. That's probably an interesting comment. Yeah. He's forbidden under Islam. So that's their two headline acts, really, the feminist and the gay
guy. They're the ones I'm hoping will cause the most drama.
Then there is the one with the hijab, the nijab.
Nijab.
And then there's covering the head debate. There's sleeping arrangements, eating, socialise, terrorism gets a mention, extremism, their faith and everyday lives. So it should be an absolute light-hearted Friday night television viewing.
Sounds good.
No, it's on February 21st, 22nd, so I'm imagining it's on a...
So it's only a two-day thing?
Two-day thing, yeah.
Oh, is that it? Okay, I'll check it out. It sounds interesting.
Let's vote them off, maybe. That'd be interesting.
That would be great.
That would be fascinating.
That would annoy
everyone. Who would have won? Who would you think would win, the voting them off type?
Oh, I think the hijab one.
I don't know if they would. I reckon they'd get voted off first.
You reckon?
I think they didn't have the vote.
It depends who's voting. Are Australians voting?
Well, it's a show on TV, right? So
anyone can vote, yeah.
I've got a feeling, yeah.
I don't know.
But it is interesting. A part of the press release, so they mentioned their freaks in the population yet dominate the news to a point of ad nauseum.
Yeah, because it's a, what is it? A vocal minority, right?
I don't think they're vocal. I just think it's their opposition's also as vocal as they are.
Yeah?
I think the opposition's more vocal than they actually are.
Well, that makes sense.
Because actually, you know, when they have it on TV, you know, Current Affair, they have Muslim Mondays normally. Muslim Mondays is one of their regular segments, I think. Yeah. It is. Like, you know, like they have the weekend promo, they're like, oh, Islamic school, or, you know, Islamic, you know, they find some, they're counting Christmas or something. Or
they love making up that crap, mostly.
Ironically, SBS is also screening Homeland soon, too, which is an ironic twist to the
That's
situation.
Very Muslim.
They're very balanced in their approach to the topic.
Yeah. Maybe not one after the other. That would be good.
just a side.
Speaking of controversy, though, Craig McLaughlin has spoken out against allegations again, this time to the press.
Yes.
It was with the Sunday Herald. He said he feels anger, hurt, bewilderment, but it keeps coming back to shock. How can this be? He says that 30-plus years of a great reputation and his history cannot be called into doubt, but he feels he's being alienated against. And he says, even though he does, he said, although he does like being cheeky and naughty, it doesn't equate to being a bully.
That fine line.
He probably shouldn't have said that, just saying.
But it's true, it's a fine line.
Yeah,
it's
but fine line between the two. He's still admitting something, which he probably should have just kept his mouth shut, to be honest. But, you know.
He did defend himself to a point. He's entitled to a defense.
Of course he is. But it's like these people going, oh, if I did that, well, you know, I am sorry. I don't remember doing it.
Yeah.
They're guilty.
Dementia's a terrible thing.
No, they play that dementia up, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they actually... I think they do remember.
Of course they do. I think they're a bit of full of crap on that one, but he's entitled to defend himself.
Now, Moira.
What happened to Moira?
Not Moira from the Good Morning Australia show, but she's... I don't know what the status is with Moira. But Moira O'Sutherland died aged 91.
Oh,
you may remember her from this TV commercial.
This is Hi-Ho, a new foaming detergent, and it's wonderful. Only one teaspoonful for a sink full of dishes. And it really cleans dishes like mad. Hi-Ho is so kind to your hands. And your dishes come out cleaner than clean. You just love new Hi-Ho.
Is that Snow White's
Hi-Ho, detergent? Hi-Ho,
where we go, where we go. It's very, very Me Too there, I think, Steve.
Yeah.
So you've definitely played that. She actually was in a number of guest roles, including Skippy, Matlock Police, Division 4, Number 96, mm-hmm. Sons and Daughters, Country Practice, Water Rats, Blue Heelers, Outriders. Oh, wow. But I think her best work was in the Hi-Ho dishwashing liquid detergent. And
that's
that was
a starring role.
That was a revolution in detergent, I think, Steve, the one teaspoon in detergent. Who puts their detergent in a teaspoon, out of interest?
Not me.
I would never put a teaspoon of detergent in. That sounds a bit too... To be fair, he's a dishwasher.
I just usually put in the sponge and away I go.
You're doing it all wrong. She died in 91. She was in Neighbours and Cop Shop and Hey Dad. Interesting show Hey Dad was. She was the grandma in Hey Dad.
Oh, was she?
In 1987 to 91.
On the father's side or the mother's?
Yes, you want to pick the right side, wouldn't you, of that family?
Terrible.
She passed away on January 16. Her funeral will be held. It was held in Edgecliff. Last week, so she is sadly going to be missed.
Right, very sad.
I'm going to go out and buy some Hi-Ho washing detergent now.
I don't think it's around anymore.
No, not around.
I don't know.
And that is... Oh, and also too, yes. The new quiz show coming up too. Oh, hold on, we have the feminist view on washing detergent now.
I actually think that was a teaspoonful because it was powder. Now we have a squirt of liquid, but it used to be in a box, and you put your teaspoon in because otherwise, if you didn't, you know, measure
there
it
was
out,
no squirt back
you'd
in the day.
Tip it in, and you get half a packet in, and so it was wasteful. So there you go.
Such a wisdom.
Well,
we're spoilt in modern times to have a squirt top liquid dispenser.
I'm a bit concerned about your sponge, though, because sponges are just full of germs.
No, I don't use the same one. I don't use the same one, Carol.
Get your stuff sorted, Steve.
I use a new one every time, I'm clean.
An exciting quiz show too starts next week, the week after next, February 5th. Big prizes at stake.
Are you curious about curiosity? Do you think a lot about thinking? Well then, I think I've got something for you. The ABC has a new quiz show. Facts, you can hardly believe. We're putting our heads together. All we need is yours. Let's make thinking great again. Join.
Let's make thinking great again.
In other words, we have no prizes and we're just really trying to watch our show. Please watch this, the ABC. God help us.
Yeah, we have no money.
What's wrong with Paul McDermott? What's he got with a beard?
Midlife crisis, probably.
It's really weird. He looks like a very wise professor, though.
I didn't even know he was doing a quiz show.
How did you not know?
Well, I know now,
think
clearly.
Think tank.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It's not the Einstein Factor. Remember the Einstein Factor?
Oh, yeah.
That was actually quite a good... They should do a good quiz show, the ABC.
Hard Chat's pretty good. I like that.
It's a bit mean. Bit mean.
Yeah, it's good.
Paul McDermott is back on TV. He hasn't been on TV for ages. He was always
he's
very funny.
He was stuck in England, wasn't he?
No, that was the other guy, the one leg. Have they done the show on one leg? Quite literally.
Speaks and specs.
Oh, Adam Hills.
Adam Hills, yeah.
Right.
And I think he has
one leg. He doesn't have one leg.
Yeah, he does.
No.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Not my temporary loser attempt of just.
I never knew that. Wow.
Yeah. You never know.
No, I didn't know.
What was his show called in the UK?
It's called Half. His show's called.
Oh, my leg. That's why it's called that.
I didn't know that.
Steve, you're missing out. I can understand Hi-Ho washing detergent, but the guy that has one leg, that he calls his show One Leg, I thought you would have got.
I didn't know he had one leg. I didn't know that. I don't believe you. I'm going to look this up.
Google it.
Okay.
Now that's all the TV.
Welcome back to the program. It is time for movies.
Our regular spoiler alert segments.
Yeah, I did three last week. It's time for you to pick up your game.
And also, too, I lost your bet too, by the way.
You did lose my bet. That's okay.
What was the bet I forgot about that I'd made?
You betted me $5 that there wouldn't be any podcast called Spoiler Alert. And there were at least six of them.
Wow. But now it's a segment name, right?
Now it's a segment name.
Now it's a segment name. Yes.
First segment name,
probably. Can you just imagine David and Margaret? Spoiler alert.
Never worked.
So I watched this amazing movie. Oh my god, it was so awesomely good. Yeah. I have been texting it and Instagramming it and all that
stuff. I am looking forward to hearing about it
all the time.
Yeah.
We Are Friends.
We Are Friends. Like, oh, is it that DJ one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about it. Wasn't that good?
Well, funny story.
Spoiler alert, it's not that good.
No, We Are Friendly. Might have been better, but We Are Friends are a bunch of...
Oh, We Are Your Friends. Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah, cool. I don't know. I was just on the telly and it was just like, okay, then what could be interesting?
Yeah.
Interesting enough, 92% of Google users liked the film, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 40%.
Yeah, because that's crazy.
IMDb got 6.2. So Google users are completely morons. But I use Google, so that's a bit harsh. apparently, it had a budget of $2 million and made $11 million in the box office.
Yeah.
I can see why. It was abhorrent.
Hey, one got back its budget, though.
It had some big names in there, too, you know.
Yeah, Zac Efron, massive name.
Efron, so, and you know, it had a nice cover art, looked interesting, it looked like, you know, it could be...
Is that what you base your movies on, the cover art?
Basically, yes. Basically, if you've got a good title and cover art, I'd watch. Or a good promo if I'm paying a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
Basically, it was just a bunch of D-Days just doing bugger all.
Yeah.
Basically. I don't even know if there was a plot or... I don't think it done anything.
Well, in this day and age, everyone...
And even the music wasn't great. It was... I just don't...
Yeah?
Know what it was about, really.
Well, that's unfortunate to hear. waste of time? Did you watch the whole thing?
I just watched in the background. I kind of... Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it was about. Do you know what it... Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it, but I do know what it is about.
What is it about, Steve? Help me out here. Because I watched it, and I was watching it semi-closely, and...
It's mostly about a DJ from Los Angeles.
I remember the DJ from Los Angeles.
He's trying to make it in the music industry, and his friends, they're trying to figure out their lives, what they want to do. He wants to be a DJ, a world-famous DJ.
Yeah.
And they want to, I guess, live with him, because you can become rich and from a DJ, so to speak, so...
It actually made the podcast The Worst Idea of All Time,
yeah.
Where two New Zealand comedians watch the same terrible movie every week for a whole year and discuss it every week.
Oh, wow.
It's that bad. It got a whole bunch. It got two Kiwis to watch it for a whole year and talk about it for a whole year.
What podcast was that?
The Worst Idea of All Time.
Oh, okay.
Which might be that podcast, but however, it's been on Wikipedia.
Wow.
And that's how bad it was. I'd give it maybe a star.
Okay, that's pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it was really unwatchable.
Okay, I probably wouldn't watch it then.
No, I would not. Even the characters weren't redeeming. They were just too stereotypical. There was nothing happened.
That's one of those movies. Well, those movies like that kind of.
It's like Home and Away got a big budget box office movie
DJs. That would be terrible.
Can you imagine a DJ soapy with a box office run?
Would not watch that, Glenn.
Yeah. Basically that, yeah, it was a mistake.
Would not.
I want my 96 minutes back, please. Studio Canal and Warner Brothers. I will be sending you the invoice for my time.
Yes.
and Zac Efron, whoever the hell you are. Who is he?
Efron. Actor, he was in...
I've heard his name before.
High School Musical, Baywatch.
Well, clearly his other work is much better than this.
Yeah, he's done better work. He's done better work for sure.
Which wouldn't be hard. So one star.
No. No, but speaking of movies, the Oscar nominations were out this week.
That didn't make it in?
No, that came out a couple of years ago, didn't it?
Did it make it in the Oscars last time? No?
Maybe the Razzies. Razzies it got in there, but... we're not going to go through all the...
spoiler awards. Alert. What happens, by the way, because it's spoiler alert. Oh, yes. That movie, nothing happens. Spoiler alert.
Well, that's actually not that much of a spoiler. You can still watch the movie.
No, actually, it is a spoiler. That is actually what happens. Nothing.
Oh, really?
The whole 96 minutes.
What a waste. Okay, I wouldn't watch that movie.
Anyway, back to some better movies.
Yeah, the Oscars. We won't go through all the categories. Way too many, clearly. Just the major ones. Best Picture, they've got a total of 10 nominees, I think, this year. Which I think is 9, actually, but it's still too many. Too many. Movies we've talked about before. Get Out, The Post have been nominated. Three Billboards have been nominated.
Actually, a lot of movies I actually watch. There's actually quite a good few.
Yeah, Phantom Thread, Lady Bird, Dunkirk, Darkest Hour, Call Me By Your Name.
Who's looking as a favourite, though? The Post, don't think so.
I think Three Billboards will probably win.
You love that movie.
Oh, it is very good, Glenn. You got to watch that movie.
It's about the billboards, though.
But there's three of them.
Yeah, true. Three billboards. I like good billboard.
You do. No, I do. And Get Out's very good, too. You should watch that. Get Out's very good.
How about Darkest Hour? That does look good. The primer looks amazing.
I heard it's very good. I haven't seen it.
But the primer looks amazing. I just want to watch the primer.
Yeah, but then when they get into the things about, like, another Cold War movie, and it's like, oh, my
God. Yeah, that's the thing I'm worried about. I'm worried about, like, I get the it looks amazing, but I'm like, I've heard of this story before somewhere.
Yeah, and then Winston Churchill and things. It's like,
I haven't heard many Churchill stories. I've heard he's an important figure in history.
Oh, he'd done some stuff, didn't he?
Sure he did, yeah.
Maybe a couple of things here and there.
A minister of some country that was important at one point in time.
Yeah.
Before they left the world, their empire and the European Union.
Well, never heard of it.
Never heard of it, yeah.
But the
quite Ireland. Think the Queen, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Monarchy and all that stuff.
What about Phantom Thread?
I have not heard of this.
Tell me about those fancy glamour movies.
Yeah, it sounds like...
It's made $2 million at the box office.
Oh,
I've made more than at work this week. No, I didn't
actually. I was going to say, what are you doing?
No, I didn't. But it doesn't sound like a lot of money. That's literally the price of a Sydney house.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this movie, to be honest. But it's got a great actor, Daniel Day-Lewis. Very good guy. But Australians did all right. Margot Robbie, nomination for Best Actress for playing Tonya Harding. So that should be really...
interesting role to play.
Yeah, but the movie, I hear, I, Tonya, it's actually really good, I hear. Haven't watched it yet, but I heard it's really good. As far as Australian goes, I think I believe she was the only one that...
Any surprises there? Me Too never got nominated, which I was disappointed by.
I think animated movies, though, they weren't really good. Like, even foreign movies, not very foreign. They've actually gone...
The foreign movies aren't foreign?
No, they are, but usually it's...
Chile, Lebanon, Russia, Hungary, and Sweden.
No, but usually it'd be, like, Germany and... Like China and like something like it'd be like Japan, it'd be like very secluded when they do foreign movies. Now they're actually expanding it to like Chile. And
actually, I'd say they've got a good selection of the world there.
Yeah.
South America too. I don't think there are many South American movies.
No, not that I know of, but as far as that goes, nah, it should be all right, Oscars. No.
What about the Me Too? Everyone wearing black like it's a funeral still.
I think they'll do that at the Oscars.
Again. It's 90 years of the Oscars. Come on, lighten up a bit, guys. It's 2018.
Yeah, get over it.
I'm a bit sick of this black Me Too-ism.
Yeah.
Is it going to go on for how long? How long can they go on with this stuff?
I think until names stop coming out.
That's never going to happen.
Then it's not going to end. Glenn's
so we have
to
black, break it to. Black, like, basically...
No, at the Screen Actor Guild Awards, they didn't have blacks. So.
Okay.
I think they're over it already. I think it was just for the Golden Globes.
But they got it for their Oscar ceremony. They were wearing black.
Oh, yeah, because of the...
You're wearing black for Me Too, right?
Well, it's Me Too, Glenn.
Me so. Too. Me Too!
Yeah, so the Oscars are coming up. And
looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good.
That's all for movies. Spoiler alert.
More movies coming shortly, Shane. And that has been the Wild West for another week. A big show. It was good to have Carol on the show, I have to say.
Was good.
Those words, though. Oh, my God. What a load of crap in the dictionary.
Actually, yes. Remember the old days when there was only one word in the dictionary?
When it was just like apple and house. And
simple stuff.
Now it's like milkshake duck and whatever. I can't remember the others. But a lot
we'll
of
make some up. We'll get some word tosses next year.
But tennis is over as well. It's going to be over on tomorrow.
So sad. Federer will win again.
I don't know. Will Federer win?
Of course he will.
No, I don't think he will. Marin Cilic is going to
I'll bet you $5.
Well, the women's hasn't...
I've already lost five. Federer's negative at the moment, so
you
I'm
you owe me $5.
I reckon Federer's got me, though. Okay. I'll bet you $5. Federer will make $5.
We'll even it out with Federer.
That's it. This is how Glenn's gambling addiction starts.
Yeah, how did you lose all your money? Oh, even
well, we're making bets in the show, and Steve just took all my money and ran. That would be a funny story.
Good show this week, I have to say. It was a lot of fun. Sorry about the long sport, though.
Apologies about that. Even without Pete, we actually got sport nailed.
It'll be back to normal next week because sport's done.
Because tennis will be gone.
Until the Winter Olympics.
I'll be excited about that. Now, also, turn up your website. Wild West is found at saturdaynightlive.com.au.
Yeah, the great... I reckon that's a good deal, right?
Makes perfect sense. I can't see the problem.
You won't forget
if you've
it.
Got a better way, Steve, tell me how.
Buy the domain.
That is a very good way. To tick a box, yes. Who hasn't done that?
No one yet, which is good. I'm glad about that.
That's it, yeah. Please don't do that. And we'll be back next week.
See you next week.
Maybe.